Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I am Jordan.
We are a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, get tangled up in some dumbass cords, and talk about Alex Jones. Hey.
That is right, Dan. Dan, if you were trying to sell this show,
right,
and you were not talking to a tangled cord enthusiast,
okay,
what would you describe it as?
You should get into tangled cords.
Okay, that's a what I would tell them. Idea.
You're not a tangled cord enthusiast?
I would be like, hold on. What even is a podcast, but I do know tangled cords?
Yeah, what world do we live in where someone, anybody, is not a tangled cord enthusiast?
Sir,
that's nonsense.
Sir, have you heard about Christmas lights?
Indeed. I would say that this show is about Alex Jones, and I know a lot about him. And
I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
And that twist makes things fun.
Absolutely.
So
it's a twist like a tangled cord.
Indeed. So, Jordan, I told you, I didn't tell you, I told the internet.
You didn't tell me anything.
I told the internet earlier that this will be our last live episode for a while.
for a week!
I thought you were leaving for a month.
Why would I leave for a month? Where even could I go for a month?
I told you before the show, I got confused because you're doing a month at Zany's in the future.
Yes.
In the near future.
In May.
And you're going on vacation now, and
right.
I combined the two into a month vacation. I don't listen well.
It is only because of Zany's month coming up that I'll be able to afford the vacation I'm going on now.
Right, right.
So there's no way that a month anywhere is in my future.
So the point is
also because my girlfriend is richer than me.
This is our last live episode for one or two live episodes possibly.
Yes, yeah.
I'll get Kevin Hogan or Drufke to come sit in. It'll be a delightful time. So before we get going, I'd like to give a shout out to something of that else that is delightful.
Uh-huh.
And that is a new donor, strong peep, good egg, as Bertie Wooster might say.
Okay.
This guy.
By the way, Easter sale still going on.
Absolutely, still in effect. Jumping right in as a technocrat, I'd like to give a shout out and thank you to Prop Do.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Prop Dude.
If you'd like to become
Holy shit.
If you'd like to become a policy wonk yourself, you can go to our website, knowledgefight.com, click the support the show button, and be a part of the team. We would appreciate it. It would mean a lot.
Absolutely.
So Jordan, I had this thought that I wanted to do. Like on we record these as a live stream on Thursdays and then our broadcast on Friday. End of the week episodes.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to do last week.
And for the first time last week, we figured out that we should do a wrap up.
Exactly.
At the episode.
So we did the week that was last time.
Yes. Yeah.
And that took us about 3 hours. And,
that does happen.
That was a disaster. So what
it wasn't a bad episode.
It was a good episode. It was a disaster for my life. I was up until 5 or 6 in the morning editing that.
Oh
thing.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
So I was kind of hoping to avoid something like that, but I still wanted to do a week recap.
Uh-huh.
So what I decided to do is do a top 10 things you missed this week on Alex
All
Jones.
Right, nope, I quit.
But
I am glad I'm going on vacation.
But I fucked up.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm back in, baby.
I completely fucked up. I wasn't keeping track of anything and I'm just I just have an episode.
You don't know what 10 is.
No.
Unlike Kendrick, you are not on 10 yet.
No, sir. Oh god damn it. I don't know. I can't remember his name. There's a pro wrestler who his whole gimmick is the number 10.
Oh, boy.
I am deeply ashamed.
Chat room is going to get you in 20 seconds.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yep.
So, Jordan, I'm going to walk you through this week a little bit. And some of it is less interesting than other things. Some of it is very exciting. And we're going to start with Tuesday, March 20th.
Okay.
We don't have any clips of this, so we don't have to worry about it. But
oh, okay.
Alex Jones had an interview with a guy named Mark Meachin on the show.
Sounds like a trustworthy man.
He's a guy from the United Kingdom who got in trouble with the law because he made a video of himself teaching his dog how to Sieg Heil.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that from the internet and I immediately didn't care.
Yeah,
didn't care so hard.
The dog was trained to Heil whenever he said Sieg Heil or gas the Jews. Right?
I think it's the second one that bothers me more.
I think that's what bothered a lot of people, especially the Jewish organizations.
Right.
So the thing is, he goes on Alex Jones's show and they try and cry all this First Amendment nonsense and
yeah, fuck off.
Here's the thing: First Amendment doesn't exist in the UK. So, that's part of the American Constitution. So that argument
now,
is flawed.
If that said. In the 60s, he would have been on Johnny Carson so fast.
Maybe.
Come on, he always had an animal segment.
That's true.
That guy's gonna get up
there. Crazy animal trip.
Hell yeah.
Alex's
argument. That is a crazy animal
trip. Alex's argument, and I wish I had this clip, I now regret it because it's the craziest thing. He's like, this guy, he's doing comedy. He's better than John Cleese.
Wait, I mean, now. That's when we get into what period John Cleese are we talking
That's
about?
That's a fair discussion.
Because if you come at Fawlty Towers, I'm going to murder you, Alex Jones.
I shan't. He also says that he's funnier than Chaplin, because Chaplin did the Great Dictator bit.
Funnier than Chaplin?
I don't think that the Great Dictator was necessarily straight up comedy.
I'm pretty sure that was actually incisive satire, if I recall correctly.
So
I think Chaplin was going hard at him.
Yeah, so Alex is trying to use a lot of that nonsense. Uh-huh. It doesn't really work. And so the other thing that Mark's defense of himself relies on is he's like, I did this to annoy my girlfriend because she doesn't like Nazis. And so I sit back and I think...
What?
I think that there, first of all, this isn't a great relationship. And I think secondly.
Right, you should definitely break up with him.
I think secondly, like.
Well, I don't like Nazis, but I am okay if my boyfriend teaches his dog how to say
No, because he was teaching the dog this as a prank on the girlfriend, to which I respond, how is that ever going to pay off?
Yeah.
When are you going to just casually say, gas the Jews, and then the dog howls?
No. It's like when you walk in the door and the thing of water falls on your head. It's just like that. Like, she walks in the door, and he's like, gas the Jews, and the dog zig heils. Uh-huh. And she's like, I need to leave you now.
Now you've turned this into, but look.
That's abuse. That's abuse not on the dog. Maybe on the dog.
I don't know.
On the girlfriend.
It's weird.
On humanity.
It's a waste.
I think it's just abuse.
It's a waste of time, certainly. The point that I'm trying to make is if I trained my cat, let's say, to Zeke Heil every time she said, gas the Jews.
Right.
And you and I were sitting around and I was just waiting, it would never happen. It would literally.
Wait. If we were waiting for it to accidentally, for it to coincidentally come up, like, we're doing this show and we're talking about Alex Jones's anti-Semitism and I just go, that'd be like if he said gas the Jews and then Celine just raises the paw up.
Yeah.
That would be not a prank. That would be the most terrifying moment of my life.
It would be more benign than this. And
I'd be like, wait, hold on. Dan, did you train your cat to do that? Did you accidentally get a Nazi cat?
Can you train cats?
You train Nazis?
Here's my other problem with Mark Meachin's defense of himself.
It's terrible and stupid.
He's appearing from the UK, and there's someone else in the room, and that guy's name is Tommy Robinson.
No!
Yeah, so.
What?
So I say, fuck you.
Oh, God.
You're hanging out with Tommy Robinson. Most of your defenses of not being a racist go flying out the window.
Yeah.
So Alex had another guest on his show that is a little bit more interesting from a geopolitical perspective, and that is a gentleman by the name of Alexander Nekrasov. This guy is a former, and I put this former in quotes, with a heavy question mark, Kremlin political advisor.
That's not a great thing. You generally don't get to be a former one of those. Uh-huh. Like, a lot of former anything near the Kremlins are dead.
And he has experience working with the Russian government for approximately 20 years.
Great.
It goes back to even like before Putin.
Just like with the mob, they just let you go. You know, they just let you retire. They're like, hey, look, I get it. You don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Sure, you know a lot of secrets that other people could find out if they talk to you, but no big deal.
I've found tons of articles about that he's written for places like Al Jazeera and other publications that just toe the Russian line. Like, he has one article about how Marine Le Pen is awesome and how it's no big deal that the Russian bank gave her like $40 million.
You know what's weird? In the Lego movie, that's who that song was about.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Every pen is awesome. It was about.
And it was written by Alexander Nekrasov.
Yep.
So Alex has him on.
Pharrell has a lot of weird friends.
Alex has him on the show, and this is the sort of hard-hitting journalism that Alex Jones does.
So why do Russians love Putin so much?
Great, 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 great.
I mean, you know what's interesting? That's actually a very complicated question. Because Putin, strangely enough, does enjoy a largely favorable view amongst Russians.
Yeah.
That is something that is true. Like, if the weirdest part about that election that they had that was clearly fucking rigged.
Right. We'll get to that a little later.
I think if it wasn't rigged, he still would have won.
It's possible. I mean, I don't know.
I think there's a high likelihood that it would happen.
It's possible. But what I think is more interesting is, a little bit down the line in this interview, Alexander Nekrasov explains what he used to do for the Russian government.
Mm.
And, this should set
off. Hard rice and soft rice.
This should set off alarm bells in everyone but Alex Jones for some reason.
I must accept this as well, Alex, that Putin and his crowd sometimes do and say things that are not great, you know, as a public relations exercise, I would say. And I think there has to be more cooperation in the sense that I was a troubleshooter for the Kremlin.
I don't like that word.
My job was to fix things.
I don't like that word.
My job was to go behind the scenes and basically resolve the problems before the big boys were meeting.
That's a murder.
No, he's talking about being a public relations foreign media fixer. He would go in and sneakily work behind the scenes. He's a propagandist.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
He just admitted on Alex Jones' show.
Yeah, yeah. No,
would be to go and deal with issues in the media.
Right.
Vis-a-vis propaganda.
He was like,
when Putin and his associates would do things that, the international community frowns upon.
He was like Peter Capaldi in, The Thick of It or In the Loop.
Yeah.
Like he was a media dark arts master, if you will.
It's yet another just like embarrassing example of Alex either just being completely oblivious of the people he surrounds himself with,
right,
or just publicly revealing what his game is. And I mean, I don't think in any way that he works for Russia or anything like that, but these pro-Putin tendencies are insane.
I am just a big fan of how little respect this guy gives Alex's show insofar as he's just like, I'm gonna lay it all out there. Yeah. I would go and lie to people.
Especially media.
That's
media
what I would
folk.
Do.
Yeah.
Media people. No, people who asked me questions.
But don't worry, I'm retired.
I would lie to them.
I'm retired.
Media people. People who work in media. Like, let's say you were a radio host.
Mm-hmm.
And Putin did something that you didn't like. What I would do is, before you ever even got close to talking about Putin, I would go to you and I would assuage your fears so you would be more pro-Putin.
Yeah.
Alex, I would never do that to you, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you the straight truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
That fucking bullshit.
So beyond that, the only other narratives that happen on this show are Alex gets a little bit into the Cambridge Analytica situation.
I assume he does so very hard with a lot of data behind it and a lot of facts.
He just screams about how Facebook's really the bad guy.
Not terribly wrong.
Well, it is wrong in perspective, but it's correct. To a point.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
like,
good, that's
Facebook
a good way
does
to put
suck,
it.
But that's, you're,
you shouldn't be defending Cambridge Analytica to get to Facebook.
You're muddying the conversation.
You should be hating Cambridge Analytica and then adding in Facebook sucks.
Also, on the 20th, the day before, or I believe in the early morning hours, I'm not entirely sure exactly when it happened, but that bomb went off at the San Antonio FedEx Center.
Yes.
And Alex tries to pretend that this doesn't undo all of his narratives about his secret sources about
right.
the Austin bombs.
Right, right.
Because all that stuff about, like, it's built on the porch. It takes 20
right.
minutes for the guy to cook the bomb on the
right.
porch.
Well, it was a FedEx worker who did it.
Oh, it must have been.
Yeah.
So all that stuff is just...
You know the famous FedEx porch?
The FedEx porch bomb.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever you go to FedEx, before you drop the package off, you hang out on the porch, you sit on a rocking chair next to the other FedEx porch guys.
Indeed.
It's all good.
Alex continues a little bit of, like, we gotta use covert action against the globalists and what have you.
Gotta.
He's kind of actually advocating for Trump, like, working behind the scenes to, like, take people out, which
uh-huh.
is a little upsetting. But again, he's still just using that shit language that he uses
yeah.
to avoid
yeah, yeah,
responsibility
yeah. politically.
For, yeah. So now that we've moved on from the 20th, we're about to get to the 21st,
okay.
Which would be Wednesday, if you're nasty. But before we get to that, we need...
What would you call it if you aren't nasty?
Wednesday. Wedness right. Day. before we
Wed Nieces Day?
Before we get there, we got to hear an out of context drop from the 21st.
Well, you can be assured that you're going to be getting that attorney general job as you go on, not just the interim, and you're going to be assured maybe a Supreme Court seat if you'd like it. How's that sound, my little baby? I'm a policy wonk.
Oops. Oops. Oh, no. iTunes started fucking up there.
Is that his Ruth Bader Ginsburg impression?
Indeed it is.
Is that Bernie Sanders?
That's Bernie, baby.
All right.
No, that's
Bill Clinton,
that's
right?
Of course.
Yeah.
That's not actually all that interesting, but I always like it when he does an impression that you gotta throw it in.
Yeah.
You know,
of course. You
can't miss an opportunity for his SNL reel.
Yeah.
At least.
I would pay $1 million to see that audition tape.
At least that's closer to the acceptable impression.
Like if Alex spent a couple of years in the Groundlings and Lorne just kind of was like, we're just going to give everybody a shot. And I would watch that audition tape so fast.
Jesus, that would be amazing.
Oh, so good.
So on the 21st.
Also, piece of advice, Alex, take a class at Groundlings.
Oh,
give it a shot.
Oh.
It'd be a good idea.
Oh.
Oh, that'd be a great idea.
To the chat room, it's wine. We got a red wine.
Yeah.
So on the 21st.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I gotta say, I did a lot of talking and explaining over the 20th because it's not that great.
Yeah.
The 21st and 22nd feature some high-end bullshit. Like,
ooh.
Like some of the stuff.
Bespoke bullshit?
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed. This was tailored for Alex, this bullshit. Okay. This stuff is like, it's kind of in the league of stuff that I've like, I wait for bullshit like this. Because it's.
Okay.
It's the kind of bullshit you can sink your teeth into.
Uh-huh.
It's the bullshit you can laugh at, like, why are you doing this?
Right.
And it's the kind
of. And it made you read 6 different books.
Yes.
Yeah. There
totally.
We go. Yeah. There we go. That's your bullshit right there.
It's the kind of stuff where you can look at it and you can know that he knows he's lying.
Uh-huh.
And then you can look at it and be like, okay, now why are you lying? Which is a much more interesting conversation or interesting, like, train of thought than just, is he lying about
absolutely.
This?
Absolutely. Oh,
does
no.
Does he know he's lying?
Exactly. No, that's what's really been lacking in the present for us for so long is just like,
it's pathetic.
He's just sad, you know?
Well, it's pathetic, lies about, like, straw man versions of his lawsuits and stuff like that, and it's just like, eh. Right.
Yeah, of course you're doing this. This is too transparent.
Self-protection and shit like that.
Now we get into the good shit.
So, Alex has found a story that's a couple days old, and he's shocked that he hasn't heard about it yet, and he delivers it with the most immediacy anyone has ever delivered a story.
Yeah, the piano-playing cat died.
No, it's not that.
It's not that one?
No, it's not that.
Okay, I assumed it would be.
You know what I want to do? You know what I want to do at some point? Maybe we don't do it this episode, but like you rattle off, like things that you think Alex should cover. And I'm like, it's coming up or nope. Cause there's a lot of news.
We'll do a classic like a yay or nay segment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cause there's a lot of news and a lot of it doesn't get covered.
Coming or going?
This one is going.
It just gets crazier. Look at this. Daily Caller. It's a footnote in the Washington Post. The top investigator into the Seth Rich murder was shot twice.
I want to hold off there really quick because I wonder what that means.
I'm already in wondering what top, like the best investigator, the guy who's leading the team.
Right.
Like what are we talking about top investigator wise?
Who knows? It's never really spelled out.
Okay.
The Washington Post. The top investigator into the Seth Rich murder was shot twice in the back.
Once in the butt, actually.
He got away with his dachshund badger hound in his arms.
Yep.
And then the person began trying to run him over, a Marine with the Department of Energy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, when the hitman comes, that's what they are.
A Marine with the Department of Energy?
And so it's just next level. I don't want to get this individual on. He's been the prominent lawyer putting out the rewards, investigating, doing all this back when the family wanted that. It's still an unsolved murder. And evidence mounts that there were laptops in the DNC.
Real quick, we'll get back to all
evidence
this.
Evidence has not mounted.
We'll get back to all this. But real quick, Alex is trying to conflate a number of things because Seth Rich and his parents I guess Seth Rich didn't. His parents did because he was dead at the time. But
right.
His parents put out a reward for information about people who killed him.
Yeah.
And so did this guy. And Alex is conflating the two, trying to pretend that they're the same reward,
right.
Whereas they're right. Different. But anyway.
And cover-ups and all this stuff going on. The family suing Fox News for questioning.
Not for
it's
questioning.
Called Alex Jones, Fox News sued for conspiracy theories. New York Daily News, translate that, asking questions. Why, Jones will probably think it's a big deal. This lawyer got shot twice in the back.
Once in the ass.
He thought he was at a document pickup. And when he went under the orange cone to get the documents, he got shot twice in the back. He ran with his dog in his arms. And the feller coming after him, who's been arrested, didn't stop, started running over him. But he jumped between cars after being rammed twice and lived.
So Alex screams about this narrative for pretty much the entirety of the show. It just keeps coming up. And he's like, that's all the information he gives on it.
Uh-huh.
That you basically heard all of it. But just imagine him screaming. Later.
For a while.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He has Dr. Group on later, and he screams at him about it. It's like, why are you telling your chiropractor?
Oh.
This is nonsense.
Well, if you get shot in the ass, you're gonna need an adjustment
gotta
later.
Gotta swell that out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So, what do you think about this narrative? What do you think about this story? Is it scary?
Well, if I understand it correctly, the top investigator.
Right, which is a nebulous idea to begin with.
Right. He was shot twice in
also,
the back.
Also, let's put investigator in quotes.
Oh, no. Does he even work for the police?
No. Good what? God, no. No.
Then he's not an investigator at all!
No, he's a crazy dude.
You couldn't even call him a... Does he have his private investigator's license?
I don't think so.
Then he's not an investigator, period.
He's a lobbyist.
He's a hobbyist.
He's a lobbyist and a hobbyist.
He's a lobbyist?
We'll get back to that in a minute.
What do you mean we're going to get back to that? That seems like the most important part of this.
It's not. Well, maybe it is, but I can't prove it. His name is Jack Berkman. And Alex is trying to pretend that he's working in an official capacity as an investigator.
Right. He's clearly not.
He's not. He is just someone who, decided to take it upon himself to start an investigation into the Seth Rich
Now, you see,
murder.
That, the problem therein is that now we go from it's a conspiracy to you getting shot twice in the back to like, hey, dude, you're probably fucking pissing people off, and maybe you have getting shot in the back coming at you.
Well, hold on.
Oh, boy.
So now the guy who shot him and tried to run him down with a car.
A Marine from the Department of Energy.
I didn't look into that because I don't really care. I think that I don't know.
A Marine
know.
Le Pen from the Department of Energy?
I don't know, man.
All right.
I don't care. I know that he's not involved in that. He's a crazy dude.
Fair enough.
I know that because he's a guy named Kevin Doherty. And Alex is trying to pretend that he's an assassin who was sent to kill him.
A Marine from the Department of Energy.
Yeah, he's trying to pretend he's an assassin sent to kill Jack Berkman because he wouldn't stop investigating, the case. However, if you actually read the articles about this, it's not a political hit job, but it's a case of one crazy person attacking another crazy person. Here's the quote about this.
Okay.
Jack Berkman told the Washington Post that he had hired Kevin Doherty to help him build a psychological profile of Rich's killer. Berkman fired Doherty in July 2017.
Oh, God.
And moved on to investigating the FBI.
This can't be real.
In February, Berkman was contacted by a man who claimed to have information on then deputy director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe. Now we'll get back to out of the quote. Spoiler alert. That guy didn't have information.
Oh.
It was Doherty planning to kill him.
What?
Yeah.
This is awesome.
So.
I am now. Fuck everything but this story. This is my favorite
I
thing
told you,
that's ever
this is
happened.
Great. Yeah.
Wait, so, okay. All right. So, now, instead of the, top investigator getting shot twice in the back and running away with his dachshund.
Yes.
Now we have, a random ass dude who, was hired to look up information on Seth Rich.
Mm.
And then he was fired from doing that. And then later, he was given a contact who said, if you meet with me, I'll give you information on Andrew McCabe.
Yes.
But it turns out that the guy who fired him in the first place was the guy who was sending him that in order to murder him clandestinely.
I think you have some of your pronoun reference wrong, but generally speaking,
that's kind of the circumstance.
Jack Berkman decided to investigate Seth Rich's murder.
Yes.
And he might have had a reason to do so, which we'll get into in a minute.
Okay.
He hired Kevin Doherty, who probably was an ex-Marine and might have worked for the Department of Energy at some point,
right,
but is now a crazy person.
Worked with
and
Rick Perry.
Is beyond all that. Okay. He is not employed by those people anymore. They get into a little bit of a beef while they're working together because
okay,
Jack Berkman thinks that Kevin Doherty is trying to turn the project into being about himself. He thinks that he's grandiose and in interviews and stuff like that is taking over the project. So he
see, now that's something that a completely not grandiose and paranoid person would think.
Well, paranoid people would never investigate a, you know.
Oh no, of course not. Of course not. And they definitely wouldn't get sidetracked because they thought the other guy was getting too much attention.
Right.
Yeah. That's a normal thing to do.
So that comes to head in July 2017 and, Berkman fires Doherty. At which
yes,
point, because there's not much to the Seth Rich conspiracy nonsense.
Do you mean nothing?
Right. He ends up moving on to investigating the FBI a little bit down the road.
Yeah, because if you're going to go crazy, might as well take it all the way to the top.
A little bit down the road, he gets contacted by an anonymous source who, spoiler alert, is Doherty, trying to lure him to a location so he can kill him. That's what's going on. It's the... Jordan, what we call this is the cost of doing business in the conspiracy world. You're going to end up working with dangerous, crazy people
right,
who might want to kill you at some point.
That is spectacular. I don't know if a story has made me feel quite so. Look, I get it. I'm against people getting shot, but
it's pretty hilarious because he lived.
Seeing them cannibalize each other, that's kind of funny to me.
He lived. He only has like a broken wrist or something like that. It's not even a big deal. And so, I mean, if he died, it would be, you know.
Broken wrist from getting his ass shot?
You know what? All the stories I could find don't even really confirm that he was shot. They just say he says he was shot.
Which we can confirm means he was not shot.
But it could mean that it was like a BB gun or something like that, or like a pellet gun or something. I don't know.
So it may not even have been a murder plan. It was more just like, I'm going to beat the shit out of this guy.
Might have been a blow dart. I don't know.
That'd be fun.
There's all sorts
of... See, now that's cartoon, and I love it.
There's all sorts of unknowns about it, but what I do know is this has nothing to do with Seth Rich.
No.
It has to do with a petty squabble between two crazy dudes.
How do you get named a top investigator the Seth Rich?
Just be in the news. Alex Jones will call you that. He doesn't give a shit.
All right.
So I told you he was a lobbyist.
Yes.
Now here's where this is important. Alex Jones doesn't bring this up.
Okay.
But it turns out that Jack Berkman is a Trump-connected lobbyist who in the past has raised money for Rick Gates. And if you don't remember who that is, Rick Gates is Paul Manafort's associate and Trump campaign manager who recently pled guilty to lying to the FBI and conspiracy against the United States. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So we've got the most trustworthy people involved with this story.
I don't know 100% if that's connected or anything like that, but. It's certainly interesting. So
that
now,
is very interesting.
At this point,
why isn't that? See, now that seems like a how many stories did you read about this where they went into how insane and ludicrous this is, detail by detail?
Almost none. I had to piece it together from a bunch of stories.
Now that seems like a crazy awesome story. It's like if WAPO, which is how I abbreviate Washington Post,
because sure,
I know them
yeah,
personally.
Your friends.
If Washington Post did a story that was like, crazy people doing crazy shit like that, I'm fucking reading that all day. They got to figure out how to do clickbait if they're going to do it right.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
So I agree with you. This story on its merits.
Bananas.
Juicy.
Yes.
But unfortunately, Alex doesn't really know how to make this suspicious. Because he can't.
You don't even look. I mean, I know. You don't need to fit it into your narrative. If you've got story,
he
fucking
does.
Throw down.
No, he does. Because the reality of the situation points fingers at Trump, at Rick Gates. It points fingers at why is this Trump-connected lobbyist being a top Seth Rich investigator in the first place?
What
is going on here? If you really look into the craziness between the two, you kind of come to a damning indictment of the mindset that drives you down that road to begin with.
See, now, here we go. Let's go reverse engineering this. Let's rewrite the narrative for Alex Jones. False flag. All right. The guy who is associated.
It was the Dachshund's fault?
If you think of, well, of course it was. the Dachshund killed Nunk.
Right.
The guy who is associated with Rick Gates, clearly being set up in order to discredit anybody who has ever hired, anybody who's ever worked for Trump in the past, right? So now you got a whole new narrative to go down. This is a fascinating story.
You can
wind this in with your other narratives, and you can still tell the truth, which is juicy and interesting.
You might be close to what he thinks as is, but he just can't really figure out how to work this.
Okay.
So you had your version. Here's his.
WikiLeaks.
Not good. Already
has
bad.
Come out, Julian Assange, and said, we don't give away sources, but yes, you should look at him as a source.
That's not what he
we
said.
Are offering a reward for his murderer.
Doesn't sound like WikiLeaks.
He didn't say you should treat him as a source or that, you know, Julian Assange did try to, you know, pretend that he was the source,
yeah.
In a way just to cause political trouble.
Right.
There's an article that came out literally just before we started recording where, it's very clear now that Guccifer 2.0 was a GRU Russian intelligence
really?
Cutout. Yeah.
Oh, but goddamned.
They went over all of the times.
Like clear.
Well,
clear cut. No, here, no
there's an article,
fucking bona fides about it.
There's an article in the Daily Beast about this.
Uh-huh.
That just came out like right before we started recording. And they were going over all of the times that emails were sent or any IP addresses were logged.
Uh-huh.
And every time, it went to a VPN server that was lodged in France to get around IP address stuff. But one time when he logged in, he forgot to use the VPN settings, and that IP address linked directly back to GRU. So
fuck yes.
So it is now entirely
good on you, Daily Beast. That's some fucking great journalism shit.
Well, as long as that story is accurate, which
right,
it seems like it is. I don't know. We'll see how the reporting goes in the next couple days and what have you. But if that story is true, then Guccifer 2.0 is a Russian intelligence cutout.
Yep.
Persona. Roger Stone.
Yep.
Has interacted with Guccifer 2.0
yeah.
And been very clear about it.
If that's true, the crimes have all been committed.
And Guccifer 2.0 has said that he sent the emails directly to WikiLeaks, a tweet that WikiLeaks themselves retweeted.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then Russian intelligence gave the emails that they hacked from the DNC directly to WikiLeaks, which does kind of complicate things for Julian Assange.
Nah.
Mm.
I mean, okay. So, when the fish people write the histories of our time, this is, like, I've said this before, but unqualified, Russia did a great job.
Well, I mean, should have signed into that VPN server.
Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely. But if it's because of that discovery that we can realize how great a job they did at pulling all of this shit off. Like, this is crazy. This is movie-level spy bullshit that you don't expect to
this
be
is
real.
Trilogy level. This is
yeah.
This isn't one movie.
Exactly. This is fucking solid shit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, of course they committed so many treasons and so forth, and we're
stuff.
Like we're at like the more you learn about it, we're kind of at hot war level crimes that they
well, thankfully
done.
We got John Bolton in.
Yeah,
now,
I know, so we'll never have to worry about it.
Yeah,
someone
who has actively said that the United Nations doesn't exist, except. In as much as we want them to.
Oh yeah. By the way, that tease that you gave that this might be our last live episode for a while is now going to be on every single episode because we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Bolton is a fucking insane person.
Without exaggeration, this is one of the more fucked up staff decisions he could have possibly made.
Oh yeah.
And I'm really excited to see, cause I can't imagine Steve Pachanik won't be on the show tomorrow, and Steve Pachanik is gonna be furious.
Oh yeah,
he hates John Bolton.
Uh-huh.
And from conversations that I've had with folk,
folk
friends, not sources
just
or anything,
the townspeople.
We believe that this will have to be a breaking point for Steve Pachanik. Like he
you
has
think
to
so?
Turn on Trump if Trump is in bed with Bolton. He hates John Bolton.
Okay,
so this could
we
be,
shall see.
This could lead
if
to
if there's one thing that I've learned in these past few years, it is that nobody on the right believes in anything.
Steve Pachanik isn't on the right. He's chaotic.
That's true. He is above chaotic all evil.
He is above all that in a way that Alex wishes he could be.
Right.
I believe that pretty wholeheartedly.
Okay.
And I've been convinced that Steve Pachenik's guiding principles are being violated by the behavior that Trump is using. And Steve will have to turn on Alex. I can't wait. If he's not on tomorrow, I'm going to be furious.
Okay.
Alex is trying to weave this Seth Rich narrative. He's brought the WikiLeaks part, and now we've discussed why that's pretty stupid.
Right.
And he's also just lying.
Yeah.
Well, the murderers being discovered.
Spinning a yarn.
And what happened to Seth Rich? Shot multiple times in the back.
Once in the butt.
Nothing
actually.
Taken. The family came out. I saw him on the news. Held up pictures. Said, we want to find out who killed our son.
Very suspicious behavior for a family.
Oh, yeah.
You pulled the article from this week. Headline, Fox News, Alex Jones sued. New York Daily News. It's a photo
He's
of her.
He's so mad he didn't get top belly.
With the reward that she's handing out.
That's him.
Great staccato.
So bad. But he's trying to compare and, again, conflate the two rewards that were offered. The family's one, and then this Berkman, whatever his fucking name
Who
was.
Who gives a shit?
Berkman, Jack Berkman's nonsense. He's trying to conflate the two, and it's just stupid.
The reward flyers.
Is the...
And so people start investigating
2-1.
This.
So there, he's saying...
I'm just loving his rhythm of speech right now.
It's rough.
If they see... He's like a beat poet? Well, like, that's what he's doing right now?
No, it's someone who doesn't have...
No, he has no idea. No, he's got nothing.
He's trying to figure out a way
to go on.
He's trying to weave this into a coherent sentence.
It's hard.
It's not working.
To talk like this all the time.
It'd be very annoying, and I hope you stop right now.
I don't...
But what he did right there...
know if I can.
What he did right there is he's saying that, like, they came out and offered this reward, and so people started investigating.
Yes.
And I would argue...
The top investigators started investigating.
I would argue that that's not why people give rewards. They give rewards for information that is already had by people, not as a call for investigative vigilantism.
I believe they hired the Pinkertons? Is that what they did?
It's not like... you know, it's not a call for amateur sleuths.
Right.
Hey, any of you guys want to make your name in the game? You want to make a big scoop? Get out.
It's an ad in the back of an adventure comic book in the 1940s.
That's the way he's presenting
it.
It's like,
yeah.
The family came out and gave a reward. Of course they're going to be fake investigators coming out.
Do you like the Hardy Boys? Have you ever wanted to be one?
So ridiculous.
People start looking into this, and then they get sued.
Well,
investigators you see on TV that the family says
one
they're working with, and that they say they're finding evidence of DNC connections, then suddenly those people change their stories.
Well, that's interesting, because who you're talking about is Rod Wheeler, who was a guy who freelanced for Fox News, who has since sued Fox News.
Right.
And
well, he changed his story.
Ed Batowski and Malia Zimmerman, he sued them for using quotes that were not from him. They falsely attributed information as to coming from him, and that's why his story changed.
Right.
Because Fox News lied the first time.
It tends to change whenever you've got legal action coming at you.
Right. So he's like, hey, why are all these people who are finding evidence of the Clintons being involved in this changing their story? It's like, well, because the first story was a fucking lie.
Right.
And then
the law is involved.
Right.
And you're not allowed to lie to the law.
And no one's getting sued.
That's considered also a crime.
No one's getting sued for investigating Seth Rich or looking into this. There's thousands and thousands of fucking people on the internet who are digging in deep,
right,
who are completely within their legal right. The people who are getting sued are Ed Batowski, Malia Zimmerman, and executives at Fox News for a conspiracy that they clearly engaged in.
You know,
based on emails that are in the lawsuit that are damning.
If you are one of these Republicans, right, shouldn't the staggering number of lawsuits being filed against you kind of like when you take a step back and look at all of the people you support and how many lawsuits have been filed against them recently, shouldn't you start to think, ooh, maybe.
Nah, you're an idiot.
Okay, fair enough.
Because what you should,
that is a good defense.
What you should do is you should see that as proof that you're in the right direction.
Oh, okay.
And that the globalists are attacking you for being too right.
Of course, they're trying to take you down.
That's Alex's cosmology. I mean, no, he talks about it all the time. He's like, he uses like the analogy of World War One bombers that didn't have radar, and they would only know that they were above the target whenever they're getting shot at. You know, it's like, I know it's time to drop the payload whenever I'm getting shot at. He says this in so many different ways. Like, whenever people are attacking me, that's where I know I'm doing the right thing. Like,
right.
People might be attacking you sometimes because you're way out of line.
Interesting factoid. Do you know why the whole carrots improve your vision thing came about?
Conspiracy of rabbits?
No, it was propaganda put out by the British government to hide the fact that they had discovered or that they had started using radar. So, in order to make sure that people, or no, in order to kind of sow doubt into people about whether or not radar actually existed for planes, they said that their best pilots were eating a lot of carrots, and that's why their vision was better.
That's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
I had no idea about
it. It's a fascinating factoid. Thank you very much, Dan.
I appreciate what
Move
you,
on.
I appreciate what you bring to the show. I'm such an asshole.
I'm gonna be
sorry.
On vacation here soon. So,
yeah, this is your farewell.
You're not gonna get that from other people, Dan.
Hogan's not gonna tell me
about
carrots.
Ain't no co-host gonna come out of that shit.
Especially with that sort of weird. That was a person from the Bayou who's yelling. So at this point, we're sort of done with, Alex's Seth Rich bullshit narrative. It goes on throughout the show, but, you know, we just took care of it up top.
Right.
At this point, Alex gets into a narrative that he has.
They gotta stick with that. There's so many of those narratives that just won't go away because they genuinely have nothing. Like, they literally have nothing to go on. Like, they have so much nothing, they can't even come up with a new fake narrative. Because every narrative points back to the reality of...
Nah, because it's...
We got fucked. There were spies. Everything is fucked.
It's Jerome Corsi style, baby. They made a mem. They're running with the mem.
Mem.
So at this point, mem. Alex jumps to another mem.
Mem.
And if you've ever listened to our show or ever listened to Alex Jones' show and you have a memory,
a mem.
Then you'll hear. You will hear a lot of familiar stuff in this.
Yeah.
Pretty much every other week or so, Alex Jones will start screaming about how the globalists are fleeing to their armored redoubts.
Of course, somebody has to.
Today, here on this 21st of March, 2018, no exception.
Ah.
Here's the deal.
What?
My own instincts say I should be in Montana or something and digging in with a transmission system there.
He's gone on a rant about how if you can't afford to get to New Zealand or Kauai, then people are going to Montana, Utah.
Alex, you should not be in America. If you are at all worried, go to a place where there's poor extradition laws.
No, because his conception is that the globalists are going to kick off like urban chaos and weaponized diseases and stuff like that.
That sounds fun.
He has Dr. Group on.
Dr. Group on.
That's fun.
There we go.
And they talk. they talk about Weapon X or not Weapon X.
Weapon X. That's Wolverine.
That's Wolverine. Jesus. They talk about Disease X.
Snicked, my friend Dan.
Do you know about Disease X?
I don't know what Disease X.
So they talk about Disease X, and
is that the disease XY axis? Like, what are we talking about here?
No, it's something that the World Health Organization is warning about. They were warning about the breakout of Disease X. Dr. Group says he's done a lot of research into this.
Sure.
And the two of them
are famed chiropractic naturopath.
Yeah, the two of them
does a lot of research into Disease X.
They have a bunch of conversation that sort of leads you to believe that they think it's a thing.
Okay.
When it's not, it's a designation for everything that's not on the World Health Organization's radar.
Great.
That could be a deadly pandemic.
Right.
They put out a list every year of like the
it's
eight
unknown
biggest risks.
Unknowns.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
It's playing the field basically.
Which, by the way, that fucking I hate that. That's a ugh. Whatever.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unknown unknowns. Yeah. Like that fucking guy.
Rumsfeld.
Fucking God, he's one of the most. evil psychopaths, I think, in the history of the world.
So, I agree, but back to Disease X.
Sorry about that.
John Arne Rodingen, chief executive of the Research Council of Norway and scientific advisor to the World Health Organization Committee, explains Disease X thus. Quote, history tells us that it is likely that the next big outbreak will be something we have not seen before.
Right.
It may seem strange that adding an X, but the point is to make sure we prepare and plan flexibly in terms of vaccines and diagnostic tests. We want to see plug-and-play platforms developed which will work for any or a wide number of diseases, systems that allow us to create countermeasures at speed.
Yeah.
So what they're just talking about is the ability...
Plan for the best, prepare for the worst.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, very simple.
And so they get in...
Why do they keep fucking... These people are so bad at naming shit.
No, Disease X is
This goes right back to Agenda 21 when it's like, God damn it, stop naming it shit, where conspiracy theorists are going to be like, holy fuck!
They're clearly talking about a disease they're trying to create.
I know! Just be like, we're planning for... shit we don't know, because historically humans don't know everything, so we don't know everything.
Well, and Alex also talks about how, like, clearly there's, like, vaccines and, like, they're trying to create a super bug that's going to kill us, what this is.
Right.
When in the article that talks about it, they clearly say that, quote, as the ecosystem and human habitats change, there's always the risk of disease jumping from animals to humans. It's a natural process, and it is vital that we're aware and prepare. It's probably the greatest risk.
Yeah, of course.
They go on to explain that, like, because of the way the climate's changing and because the way that things are becoming more compact, that we run the risk of being much more in contact with animals that have diseases that we haven't experienced before. I mean, Ebola is an example of it. There's 100 examples of terrible diseases that have jumped over from animals.
The story that I think about most currently is the one of there was a doctor... I can't remember when, and I can't remember his name because I am shitty at this, but he was the first doctor who kind of started doing research into why it is, doctors were killing so many people. And what he found was that so many doctors were going legitimately directly from an autopsy to, a birth, going directly from all of these autopsies to other shit. And his solution was like, hey, guys, wash your fucking hands. Mm-hmm. Now, that, of course, destroyed his career because doctors were insisting that, no, you don't need to do that and you never need to worry about it because doctors are the best people in the world. And so they spent their entire fucking, like, his entire life was destroyed for coming up with the single best idea any doctor maybe has ever come up with in history.
Right.
So when you talk about something like Disease X, that's that guy going to be like, hey, we know we fuck up. We know that there's something that we need to do because something is coming around the corner because it's always coming around the corner.
Right.
So maybe plan ahead for once. And guys like Alex Jones are the same guys who are like, nah, 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 don't worry about it. Put all your bodies in the same thing and then poop next to where you live. Like,
well,
it's
well
insane
said.
Insane shit.
I think that's perfectly put. Now back to the part about how the globalists.
Sorry for that. I'm off on a weird tangent day.
No, I think,
I'm off on carrots and wash your fucking hands day.
I think that made total sense. But we had that sort of sidetrack started with talking about Dr. Group and Disease X.
Yeah, great. That's right.
And it was just my way of explaining that Alex Jones is pretty convinced that the globalists are planning to flee. And we'll go back to this clip.
Okay.
And alternately going in between, because when the hammer drops, a war could trigger it, stock market collapse. We're talking weeks till the EBT cards don't work and everything blows sky high. And I could go on for hours describing this. The globalists are then going to shoot out transformers all over the country.
Yeah,
they're going to then foment Antifa and communists pouring out, burning down buildings, attacking police stations, so civilization breaks down. They're going to have package bombs going off just every day in every major city. We told you this is all coming. I don't know if this is a psyop by the globalist here with some
holy
patsy.
That
who knows?
It could be.
Holy shit.
Psyop.
But I know this. Here's the article up on Infowars.com. D.C. officials flock to doomsday camps. What do they know that we don't?
So this links back to an article in the Washington Examiner, and it's just a puff piece.
Yep.
It's just one of these, you see these articles all the time. If you follow.
I'm such a huge fan of the, what do they know that we don't know article.
That's probably the InfoWars headline. But like, be that as it may, like all the, I read over this and it's just basically, I would describe it as a, buzz marketing piece for this guy's, what's it called? I can't remember the name, of his place, but it's some place where they sell
Studio 54.
They sell bug out shit, you know, like, or like a
disaster
bunker spots.
Yeah.
And you see this over and
Doomsday
over again.
Doomsday preppers.
Yeah. You see this over and over again. If you follow the conspiracy community, something will happen. The world will get pretty anxious about it. Then stories will pop up about, hey, all the elites are buying, bungalows under the ground. You saw it with the
You don't even know where to hide your guns. We're way back there now.
Right. You saw that in the Mayan apocalypse. You saw Alex pushing these narratives over and over and over again through the years. I read the article. It's the exact same thing. The idea that DC officials are leaving is based on a quote from the guy in the article that says that unnamed...
Who may have a vested interest...
In inflating the importance of
could
the business.
Could be.
And he says that people from unnamed three-letter organizations are coming in.
The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, SVU?
Yes, that's all of them. And like, in the absence of any real information, I'm going to take this one as a, oh, I've seen this article before. I've seen Alex say these things before. I don't give a shit.
Somebody copy and paste this?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But this time
it's real.
Something is different.
What?
And the timing is just too suspicious.
Okay.
So that's just one article, but let me give you the real article. This is today.
I wonder where he has it.
Guess where Obama is with no fanfare and no speeches.
Shit. Where is he?
Obama is in New Zealand for meetings, golf, but no public talks. And who's he meeting with? I wonder who.
The Lord of the Rings tour guide?
Associated Press reports. Former President Barack Obama arrived Wednesday for a three-day visit to New Zealand, where he'll speak with community leaders, meet the Prime Minister, and play golf. The sessions will be closed to the public and media except for an official welcome ceremony Thursday. Obama does not plan to answer questions from reporters.
He's a citizen. Why would
he? And then it just goes on. So what he's going to be doing there, meeting with community leaders, business leaders, and the prime minister. And to work with the Obama Foundation. That means the Obama Foundation building him an armored fortress as an escape.
That sounds right. Okay. That sounds right. That sounds right.
That's not a huge leap.
That is not a huge leap at all. He's working with the Obama Foundation.
Right.
Who is building him a huge... Why?
Escape bunker in New Zealand. This is really popular in the conspiracy world.
Where would you build your escape bunker?
Here's the thing. Peter Thiel, bought a ton of land in New Zealand,
I should have pinned him in my, who you should murder if you're a mass murderer article I put out today. Peter Thiel should also be on your...
I shouldn't have retweeted that.
Oh yeah, no, you absolutely
should have read that first.
You should not have done that. It is a very damning article. I will not be allowed to run for any kind of office.
Not even alderman. Dog catcher. Do they still elect that?
No.
So Peter Thiel owns a huge plot of land in New Zealand, and he said that it's as a sort of backup last resort kind of thing.
Right.
To run away from when society collapses.
Right.
And this
of course.
This has become sort of a meme in the conspiracy world that everybody is making these fortresses in foreign places, and it's I find very little compelling evidence behind it other than this one story about Peter Thiel rank paranoia we all feel.
Right. In all honesty, I have asked myself the question of, like, knowing that the massive disaster is coming, regardless of what you think
it
is,
so bad.
Like, no, climate change is going to massively restructure the world.
Right.
Like, regardless of how bad you think it is going to be.
But we're flexible.
Right. So, what I'm saying is, I would want to figure out where it is that I would put my, redoubt, so to speak. And you want fresh water.
Right.
You want, good pizza delivery.
Absolutely. That's key. No, not anymore. You know how to make pizza at home.
Oh, that's true.
You don't need that.
Well, then I need a grocery store. I need a Whole Foods near me, but I can't use that because Amazon owns that now.
Well, that's fine though.
Where am I going to find an Aldi in New Zealand?
Doesn't matter. Amazon has drones that can deliver.
Oh,
anywhere.
That's a good point, but I still want Jeff Bezos to die.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can
I reprogram a drone to like deliver me the pizza and then
The pizza ingredients.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Look, my position on all that stuff is, I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into this, but, as all that stuff comes, it becomes more and more important that people who are, not shitheads be around and don't run away.
Yeah.
And so I don't care about all that sort of conversation about where are we going to hide.
Right.
We hide in the shit of it and try and help people. That's kind of my perspective on it.
Yeah.
And I hope when things get bad, I can walk the walk that I'm very casually talking. And
yeah.
I don't know that's the case.
No, of course not.
I might run away like a coward.
You never know how you're going to act in a crisis until a crisis happens.
I might hang myself in a closet. There's no fucking way for me to know what my reaction will be, but I pray and hope that it is help people that I can help. And build community.
Now, see, that's where I'm out, because every time somebody's like, what would you do in a zombie apocalypse? I'd be like, shoot myself in the head. Fuck that shit.
Well, that's
different.
I don't
need any of that noise.
That's different.
I don't need that bullshit.
Zombie apocalypse is incredibly different than galvanizing and unifying struggle of humanity.
That's a good point.
Because climate change is not so much a, like, it's not like if you get hit by a rogue wave, like an errant wave, you
become
one.
A wave.
You know, it's not like that.
Or is it, Dan?
I don't think so.
Have you considered a giant rogue wave of people?
I've been hit in an undertow before.
Oh, it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very scary, but
it's terrifying.
Didn't become an undertow. So on this episode, the 21st.
A lot of Alex Jones listeners would disagree.
Jordan, this episode is going to be 3 hours long.
I'm sorry. I'm having fun.
No, it is fun. I enjoy this. On the 21st, Dr. Group was
on. I like
on.
How you say that reluctantly. Like,
I didn't say reluctantly.
It is fun. I enjoy this.
I only threw that lighter because I wasn't saying it reluctantly, and it made me mad that you were insinuating such.
It's dramatic effect. I get it.
So Dr. Group is on. Our boy.
Yes.
Eddie.
Yes.
Eddie Group. And one of the things that he's spitting is some crazy shit.
Not hot fire?
He's on there talking about how your pineal gland has a crystal in it.
Oh boy.
And vaccines.
Oh no.
And fluoride.
No.
And the air.
Dan.
And your phone.
That's not good.
And everything around you.
Pretty much.
Hurts that crystal.
Oh.
It hurts that crystal, but you know what can help?
I'm going to go with fake bullshit pills.
Iodine.
Oh, yeah.
Colloidal iodine. Now,
why?
He says that iodine is the only thing that can help the pineal gland. And
But why?
Well, because it's nonsense. But here's the thing.
All right, fair enough.
I've spent a lot of time in the trenches of the New Age world.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that sort of stuff.
A lot of crystals.
I know from going to all of these websites and researching all this stuff, no one says that iodine is the thing you use. It's turmeric. Turmeric is the thing.
Turmeric? All right, Dan.
Turmeric is supposed to decalcify your pineal gland.
I recognize your fake correction of his fake bullshit.
I just want to be above board about all this.
All right. I get it.
Anyway, we're not going to listen to Dr. Group talk about this
Thank
stuff.
Thank God.
Because it's more important that later in Dr. Group's appearance, they start taking calls, and they get this call, which is buck wild. This is a mic down moment.
Okay.
Let me see. Alexander says he's an attorney in California. He wants to talk about the pineal gland. So since we were talking about that, let's talk to Alexander in California. You're on the air.
Hello, Alex, and congratulations, doctor, for revealing to the public the fact that the pineal gland does have a crystal in it, and that is our unique ability.
I wanted to hear that, but these cell phones. let's see if his phone comes back.
Alex, if we had finally tuned our pineal gland, we could be communicating telepathically. We are spiritual beings. We are very powerful beings. And the 1% is trying to deny that ability to us. We have to have faith. We have to develop that. And you're helping us do that. I want to congratulate you for that. It's excellent work that you do, Alex. And one thing, I would like more stories about the Sandy Hook hoax.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That was a harsh change in direction. That was a very harsh change in direction. That was a really hard turn.
I'm an attorney. I want to talk about the pineal gland that has a crystal inside of it.
Also, Sandy Hook was fake. Wait, no.
Even before that, we're capable of telepathy.
Well, yeah.
The globalists don't want us to have telepathy. Sandy Hook was fake.
Look, nobody
hates
the 1% as much as I do. I have yet to accuse them of inhibiting our pineal crystal gland crystals.
Right. Because, I mean,
which, by the way, I'm starting a new line of crystal called the Pineal Brand Crystal.
Well, I mean, let's just blue sky this
okay.
idea.
Okay.
Let's just sort of spitball on
right.
this. If it is the case,
I'm hearing an if-then statement being said.
Well, I'm just look. This is how blue sky thinking works.
All right, there we go.
If we're talking,
no bad ideas.
If we're talking about Edward Group, the noted chiropractor's ideas. And he's saying that your cell phone and modern technology and fluoride in the water and vaccines are the things that are inhibiting your pineal gland, then what we should see is telepathy in humans in the 1600s. We should see telepathy being...
Dan, your logic is flawed.
Of course it is.
Didn't you see the pictures of the phone where the guy was in the 1700s?
That
he
was
a time traveler.
I
he
said,
had the phone.
I said 1600s.
I retract my argument.
Hey, that was not from the 1700s. That was from the 1910s or
who
something.
Cares?
Like that.
Who cares?
And
it's all made up bullshit.
It was an earphone.
Yeah, who
it was
cares?
An ear horn.
No, I know.
That sort of argument falls flat for me because...
For what reason?
Maybe because I've gone down so many of these stupid New Age roads, and I've found so much hucksterism in it. I've found so much con man behavior in the same way that you do with Alex Jones and his entire world. There are so many people who are trying to sell you on these superhuman capabilities that you're able to achieve.
Right.
If only you weren't being held down. And
yeah.
I believe in human potential. I think our consciousness is way more powerful than we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that if we just washed off our pineal gland crystal by not drinking water, not being around electronics, not having a cell phone, not taking vaccines, etc. There's even more things.
Of course.
Then somehow we'd be able to telepathically communicate.
Well,
it's horseshit.
It is
it's muddying the water of fun New Age stuff with New Age bullshit.
But what it's connected to is the bodhisattva. Ultimately, when you get down to all of this shit, it winds up being a rehashing of the Buddha went to the fucking mountain and meditated for 6 months.
Right.
And, or my favorite.
I got distracted because when you said bodhisattva, I just thought of that Steely Dan song.
See, now I immediately thought of Point Break.
Oh.
But, For so much of this shit, it just all goes down to that guy who goes into the middle of nowhere and cleanses himself of humanity, reaches enlightenment, and then so on and so forth.
Goes to ascetic lifestyle.
Yeah. Now, if that's what you want to do, fucking fine. But if you're somebody who is doing that and then coming back to other people, there's no explanation for why you would come back to other people.
Right.
That's the thing that always breaks it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's why my favorite Buddha, my favorite Bodhisattva, my favorite guy who ever reached enlightenment was Ikkyu Sojin, who famously reached enlightenment whenever a crow dropped a rock in the middle of a lake,
mm-hmm.
and then was given the head of a Buddhist monastery. And after 9 days, he said, "Fuck you guys, you're all corrupt. You can find me at the brothel.
You can find me in the woods with
the
whores."
He was a brilliant poet.
That's wonderful.
That is my man.
Yeah.
That is my conception of a bodhisattva, as a guy who comes back and is like, "Dude, you guys fucking suck. I'm going to fuck whores." That's my guy.
Yeah.
That is my Jesus Christ right there.
That's why you're a stand-up.
That's could be.
So Jordan, now things are going to get murkier.
Who would have guessed?
The 21st does not end well. for Alex.
Uh-huh.
Because in one of the commercial breaks towards the end of the show, he reads an article where he's being called a racist for some of his statements that he's made about how, boy, we've covered a lot of it in the past, but what it boils down to is a lot of his ideas about how whites should flee South Africa and let the blacks destroy themselves.
Right, of course.
He has that idea in his head. And
naturally.
Often he weeks, especially lately, he's been weaving in imagery about Black Panther, about like this
great movie.
This idea of Wakanda.
Very good.
This idea of a black utopia. That should have been what happened without the whites there. Meh. It's
great.
Very dumb.
Great.
But
love it.
But some, publications have been taking him a little bit out of context, but also, again, it's what we deal with all the time. Is like when people take him out of context, they're too generous to what he's saying.
Yeah.
They don't actually deal with the reality of what he's saying. And thankfully, in responding to this article that slightly takes him out of context, he says one of the worst fucking things I've ever heard him say. This might also be a mic down clip. Okay. Sorry.
I was just reading during a break, Atlanta Black Star. Alex Jones says Africa should have been like Wakanda once evil colonists were kicked out. And I'm saying according to the leftist. And then they don't tell you that at the same rant, I was playing clips of the communist leader who's number three in the government, the defense minister, and the current president of South Africa saying, we're going to take the whites' land and we're going to kill you.
He didn't say that.
And no whites should be allowed in government. I'm just saying that's racist. That's crazy. That's stupid. Whites are being exterminated in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, you name it. The countries are collapsing once that happens. And they don't show that I showed people saying kill the white farmers. Jones says whites better get out because racist blacks are going to kill you. Yeah, and I played the clip.
You didn't. So this goes back to a clip that he's misrepresenting. He played a clip from
Blackstar where it was like 1, 2, 3, most definitely quality.
No, it's a clip of South African Julius Malema, who's the leader of the Radical Marxist Opposition Party, the Economic Freedom Fighters.
Uh-huh.
In the clip, we've talked about this already in the past when we covered it, when he played it. Malema says specifically he's not calling for the slaughter of white people, at least for now.
I was going to say, yeah.
That was the clip that he's talking about. It's
right.
Not talking about slaughtering white people there. It's
which
talking
is strange,
because
he hasn't even caught up to me yet.
Right, and he's the Marxist opposition leader.
I know, right?
Yeah. But they're talking about an equitable redistribution of land that didn't happen after the apartheid state was ended in South Africa. We've been over this 100 fucking times.
Right.
Now, the reason that this clip to me is the most fucked up thing I've ever heard Alex say is that he said, quote, whites are being exterminated in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, you name it.
You name it.
You name it.
You name it.
There's so many fucking problems.
Name a place.
Rhodesia.
Whites are being exterminated there.
Not a place.
Name another place.
So do you
Persia.
Do you know?
Still definitely not a place.
Do you know what Rhodesia is?
No.
You don't?
I know, but I don't know if what I know is then gonna be revealed to be fucking stupid.
Okay, I'm gonna
keep my mouth shut before I reveal myself to be fucking stupid.
I'll tell you a little story.
Yeah.
So Rhodesia has most recently come into the public's consciousness in 2015, because Dylan Roof, after he shot up the black church, and killed 9 people, pictures of him came out, burning an American flag and also with flags of the apartheid government in South Africa and Rhodesia's flag on his shirt.
Right.
That's one of the reasons that it's been, you know, sort of brought to the public consciousness. But a lot of people don't know what Rhodesia actually is. Rhodesia is an internationally unrecognized state that hasn't existed since 1979. It's a literal symbol of the white supremacist, white nationalist movement that exists to this day.
Okay.
And there's a reason for that.
Okay, thank God, because I was legit terrified that, like, when you started saying, like, do you know what Rhodesia really is? I was like, I thought it was about white supremacists, but is it a real place? Like, I don't know.
It's what is now modern day Zimbabwe.
No,
and
right.
That's what makes him say
right.
Whites are being slaughtered in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, you name it, even
yeah.
worse.
Yeah, no, that, That's why I got scared.
Right.
I was like, I thought it was a very simple and straightforward concept.
So in 1965, Rhodesia broke away from its existing status as part of the United Kingdom because the UK would not recognize their apartheid government, where 3-4%, it's unclear exactly where the number was in there, but the white population was about 3-4% of the population.
Right.
And they controlled the entire apparatus of control of the government.
Sounds correct.
Wars with black liberation groups broke out all over the place, and the regime...
Who knows why?
The apartheid regime employed incredibly horrific means to stay in power, including...
Can't imagine white people doing that.
I found an article from the 60s in the New York Times describing some of the torture that they employed.
I bet it was all tickling.
Electrocuting people, heating their limbs to extremes. They also engaged in rampant incarceration of black leaders.
Never heard of white people doing that.
In 1979, the government collapsed, but the racist myth of this white supremacist utopian state of Rhodesia remains to this day.
Ah.
The idea that they have is that these communist forces, the black people who are like, why are 3% of the population oppressively governing over us?
That's a bad question.
They create this idea that if only those black assholes hadn't have been like, we need rights.
I know, they were ruining it.
Then they could have had a white supremacist utopia
ruined
in Rhodesia.
Ruined it for everybody.
And then,
For white people. Well, I mean for those white people.
It's unfortunate because, you know, you do end up with Mugabe coming into the picture. And that's not great.
But that's how it always winds up working. And this is something that I've put a lot of thought into, because that's kind of what we need to happen here. When you have an oppressive government, the people, it's the French Revolution over and over and over again that we see historically of you have this oppressive bullshit fucking government and people are finally like, we can't handle this shit anymore. And then they wind up making the same mistake that everybody else does where they go, well, this guy will help.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get fucked over.
Right.
Like that's our issue.
Some charismatic, well-meaning leader who becomes a dictator himself.
Exactly. Yeah, you get your Castro out of your fucking bullshit.
I would posit, first of all, that Mugabe wasn't all that terrible to begin with, though he got terrible.
None of them are.
Right. But I would also say that he unfortunately serves as a tool of the white supremacist propaganda about Rhodesia.
Of course.
Because they're like, if he hadn't come along with his communist asshole buddies and overthrown the white great government, they could have been doing great there. And because he did so terribly, it props up their argument.
And you can apply that to the fucking terror.
Right.
After the French Revolution.
It's
you
a
can
lot
apply
of
that to the fucking Bolshevik Revolution.
It's a
you
lot
can
of bullshit.
You can apply to it to so many of these fucking revolutions. You fucked up and eventually people are like, we need to fucking solve this problem. And a charismatic leader shows up who lies to you.
Yep.
And then discovers that power is really fucking great.
Now, the big, big problem is that Alex Jones drops Rhodesia like it's a real thing.
Yeah.
It is not.
Oh, it's not.
It only exists to white supremacists and white nationalists. The idea that he is bringing it up as a way of saying whites are being exterminated in Rhodesia is one of the most damning possible sentences a person can make.
Yeah.
Because, even if you thought that whites were being exterminated in Africa in some place, you wouldn't say that.
No.
You would never say Rhodesia.
Mainly because I think they should be exterminated.
Well, but let's put you in the position of somebody who isn't a hard yes on white genocide.
Right.
Let's put you in the position of somebody who's actually...
What an evolution I've made over the course of this show.
The reason that it's fucked up is that Rhodesia was never... It was literally never accepted as a country. It existed from 1965 to 1979... And the entire time was basically just a small white minority beating the shit out of and torturing black people who demanded rights, and then stopped existing. The only reason to ever have it in your head is because you identify with
white supremacists.
You are a fucking white supremacist if you bring up Rhodesia in a conversation as if it's a thing.
Yeah.
Alex Jones played himself so fucking hard there. It's embarrassing. And you know what's even more embarrassing? Media Matters, Right Wing Watch, all of those fucking places. They don't talk about this. They don't talk about the how he brought up Rhodesia.
I got no response. You're dead on.
I don't either.
Anyway, you're right.
Anyway, Alex.
Alex Jones, as I don't think we've ever said before, is a confirmed white supremacist.
Absolutely. And he's talking a lot of shit about how he's going to sue Tom Brokaw for calling him a racist.
Right.
Hey, Tom, hit up your boy.
Yeah.
I'll get you right out of that lawsuit. At this point, Alex gets really defensive because people are calling him a racist.
Right. Because he's a racist.
I was just reading during a break. Notice that we're all under attack.
We're all under attack, and they're
trying But I'm to- the one with blackgenocide.com on and all the other groups and all the reverends trying to fight all the black kids getting aborted. You don't see that out of the cool, trendy, liberal black sites led by Muslims.
Actually, it's documented that blacks are attacked much more with the syphilis vaccination, all of the different vaccinations. Blacks have been used for multiple top secret testing projects.
Which we exposed, but...
Real quick. All Dr. Group is rambling about there, and Alex is saying you exposed the Tuskegee experiment.
Did you expose the Tuskegee experiment?
Are you kidding me, Alex?
Really?
Are you
really?
Kidding me? How dare you?
You're gonna go with that one, huh?
But I'm not virtue signaling to a bunch of racist black people brainwashed by the left to hate because I'm white. Just because a bunch of you black people out there act like you're in the black KKK doesn't mean I'm gonna stoop down to the level you are. You got that? But I will run my mouth against black racists of South Africa murdering whites in mass. You bet I will. Go ahead. Sorry.
More the reason why we need to control our stress levels and do some.
All right.
That's great.
Yeah. What a dick.
I always love those comparisons. Okay. So two white people. What is the black KKK?
Farrakhan, maybe?
It's the Black Panthers, right?
Oh,
like, new Black Panthers or whatever it
nowadays,
is.
Nowadays, I would assume it's Farrakhan.
So, the KKK, historically, hung, lynched, murdered, did everything that they possibly could to destroy black people.
Or run them out.
Right.
Yeah.
The Black Panthers created a program to give breakfasts to people who couldn't afford them.
That's some fucked up stuff, man.
So there we go. Now we have our equivalency.
But how was the caloric balance on that breakfast?
It was actually very good. They got scrambled eggs. Look, dude, they got a piece of toast. They fucking nailed it.
It's the
all I'm saying, hard yes.
It's the provenance problem.
Provenance.
It's like where did this, like, what is in response to what?
Right.
You know, so like the idea of these like black KKK groups, or he does this about Mexicans with like La Raza and Mecha,
yeah,
which again are not separatist racist organizations.
Yeah.
He's mistranslating a lot of their shit. But and he does the same thing with like historically black fraternities and stuff like that. It's like, well, what you're not looking at is that these organizations only exist because of the history of violent exclusion by the whites-only organizations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those things would not exist if we had a history that didn't have violent and murderous segregation in it.
Yeah.
So we're not saying that every white person should be punished for that history, but everyone...
I kind of am.
Well, you're not really. That's for comedic effect.
A lot of the time.
Alex should be. But like, everyone should be aware of it. And if you,
absolutely.
And if you're willfully obtuse to that and fight against it, that means that you have some sort of underlying belief that is much more than just, I want the truth out. I want everyone to be fair. It's more that you're like, I cannot deal with the fact that someone that looked like me was so awful to people who didn't look
exactly.
like me.
Exactly.
And created the situation where people who didn't look like me had to create their own resources in order to protect themselves.
The situation there is that by defending it and denying it, you are tacitly admitting that yes, it did happen.
Yeah.
And you are guilty of it.
To some
essentially.
Extent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's jump off this because
I think we've nailed that he's a white supremacist.
Oh, yeah. I think he has.
Yeah, exactly.
So
nobody incriminates Alex better than Alex.
Yeah, he plays himself like a fiddle. We have one more clip here from the 21st, and it's really funny in consideration that the day before he'd had this Russian fixer on his show, this media fixer on his show.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the show, Roger Stone comes on, and even Roger goddamn Stone, living the best life he can possibly live, knows that Vladimir Putin stole that goddamn election, and Alex cannot handle it.
Okay.
Trump has no illusions about Putin. He doesn't think he's a great guy. He's been briefed by the spooks who've told him how Putin rigged the election, which he most certainly did. It's a totalitarian single-party system. Of course he rigged
the election. We're having this debate here. It's a parliamentary system with like 9 or 10 different parties. Putin is really popular. I've read the international studies. So you and David Knight, I'm not disagreeing with you because I respect you guys. But I mean, I do disagree. I'm not saying I'm sure you're wrong. How is it me groveling to Russia to say he won by 76%?
I guess what I'm saying, Alex, is that you're right. He certainly has his faction, and it's very large, policed by the government. But he really, what he does is he oppresses the candidates trying to run against him, throws them in jail, has their supporters, petition carriers beaten.
So at this point, Alex tries to pretend that like, oh, it's like Hillary. Like, Hillary didn't do any of that shit.
No.
This is really fun for
gotta,
me.
Again, he's just fucking Loki. He's just sowing discord wherever he fucking can.
There is absolutely a piece of it that is like, he does not give a single fuck.
He just doesn't care.
It is amazing to me on many levels. I
he just comes out and he's like, everybody knows this election is rigged.
Yeah. What the fuck? How dare? Why would you think otherwise?
That's so great too. That's so great because if Roger Stone was never allowed anywhere near power and was just allowed to give interviews, he would be the best.
No, because he got kicked off of like Fox and CNN and all that for using a bunch of racist terms
to
describe people.
No. I get that.
Call them equal opportunity hires and shit.
You're right.
Like that.
You're right. I agree. I tend to gloss over the worst of Roger Stone because he's fucking.
He's a terrible monster.
When he is working against when he's biting the hand that feeds, he's the funniest fucking human
being. Or when he's cutting through the bullshit because he's not an idiot.
Exactly.
He knows damn well what's going on.
Oh, yeah. No.
So this brings us, Jordan, to the end of the 21st.
Right.
And we will get into the 22nd here in a second, but I need to
to reinforce my belief to anybody who isn't sure, Roger Stone should be fucking beheaded.
That's fair.
He is a true, he deserves the death penalty almost as much as Joe Arpaio.
Maybe 25 years in the past even.
Yeah, exactly.
But we got to take a quick intermission because I got to open up that window because it's a little hot.
There you go.
In here, and I got to go to the bathroom really quick. We'll be right back.
I'm going
to
open up that urinary tract.
We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
The memory of oppressed people is one thing that cannot be taken away. And for such people, with such memories, revolt is always an inch below the surface.
We overrun the city. We can assure the people that we overrun the city. We have military capability, but we're being delayed because we're being afraid of bloodshed and we want to protect our civilians. But we have no other alternative now but to move in the city.
So when does it begin?
I'm going to pass the order now.
I walked into the lobby. I got like 2 steps into the lobby when the apartment door opened, and I saw the detective. He did one of these. Freeze!
Back against the wall, inhale, reload is automatic, sweat dripping, heart racing, ears cluttered with static. I got a bad habit of shining off of ferocious thoughts, like motions for thug holidays, closing the courts. I'll show my thoughts on paper, stick them inside of a bottle of Henny, so if you find it, you know what to bring when you come and get me. The slug that bit me never hit me, but still I feel it in me, grazing the earphones, leaving the semi. I hear you, Lord, I can't afford the price of milk, so they try to sell me the cow. I'm tapped out like cell phones. Can you hear me now? I'm weary now, battery energy's down. Damn, nigga, I sound an alarm. You been warned, I seen it coming through the eye of the storm. I'm not the one for frontin', just low-key. Find me in the corner, patiently waiting for something to happen. Stop,
Write a report or skip the thought. When it hits you, wrong place, wrong time. Forever shining, clever enough to know when the devil get behind you. Locked and loaded, demoting captives. The private slept on cape, and you need a rope, cage, airbags, and safety harness to face me. An escape route? Never planned it, I'm finding a way. I got plans, and under them involved, dying today. It's time for war, grab your shit, nigga.
If we must die, let it not be like hogs, hunted and penned in an inglorious spot. Like men, we'll face the murderous cowardly pack. Pressed to the wall, dying,
True indeed, conceived, guaranteed masterpieces. Born through a virgin womb, Mr. Rap Jesus. Break idols, my recitals are spoken as God's thesis. Hair like wool, shine bright with bronze features. Worn Babylon, long gone is the innocence. I write under the influence of hellfire fingertips. Write under the influence of pain and pestilence. Such a cross to bear with nails through my ligaments. I twist tops off and pop corks of the remembrance. No question the genesis of this is almighty. The beauty of my wife. He is beyond Aphrodite. Got my whole fam beside me, holding it down. Calvary's around my neck, and my fittings the crown. Pound the flesh for my sins, make the soul sacrifice. Plus I lay my life on the line for the paradise. Bring darkness to light, reborn in afterlife. Appetite for destruction, second coming of Christ.
I make the ends justify the means. Don't know the meaning of end. Up in the lion's den, looking for Zen. New world order, rites of passage, central booking for black men. Old timers fake all timers to forget. Get what's happening. Captain of the ship, capsizing the mothership. The son of baby boomers plan to blow up or some other shit. The world is falling faster than our interest in lust. Like Father Time busting nuts up in Mother Nature's guts. In the ghetto, they rap tough. But as people seek heavy metal, rather be rocks than pebbles trying to eat you. So through economic levels, the neighborhoods closer to devils and rebels. Mountains can never be level. I rock like Gibraltar with pictures like Minota and never understand how the man standing over. My shoulders all swollen from the world that I hold up. So much in my soul cuts through beef like it's cold cuts. Kick ass until the trouble's over. And this is for my soldiers, G.I. Joes and war with Cobras.
I too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes. But I laugh and eat well and grow strong. Tomorrow I'll be at the table.
Hey, we're back. Hey, everybody. Sorry about that. You know, a lot of business on that break. Hey, how's it going?
A lot of business on that break.
Well, we took some bathrooms.
There you go.
And,
there you go.
So, Jordan, like I told you, we're getting into the 22nd now.
Yes.
And this is Thursday, if you're nasty. Thursday, if you're not. Because I know you need
nope.
both.
Nope.
All right.
So, rejection.
The 22nd is a delightful day in Alex Jones's week. This day, boy, he said a lot of stuff that's not true and a lot of stuff that, is very easy to poke holes in.
Uh-huh.
But.
Unusual for him.
But he also ends up spending about, an hour of the, maybe even more than that, more than an hour, possibly, of the show just talking to his gun buddies. And so,
What?
Yeah, we'll talk about it
his
here in a second.
Gun buddies.
We'll get to it here in a second.
I don't like gun buddies.
They have a lot of.
I don't even like the idea of gun buddies.
I have some gun buddies. I got some buddies back in Missouri who like to shoot guns.
I'm fine with like bowling buddies. I don't know about gun buddies.
You've just never been to the range, man. You've never been
I've
out there.
I've never been to the range.
You should get out there and shoot some guns. It's fun.
I should because I'm going to need that skill eventually.
I don't like this uncomfortable position that I have to live in where it's like I get all of it. I get all of it. And you know what? The right answer is gun control. I get all of it though too. Like, and you know what? I think that gives me a unique position to be in where I think I can call out bullshit, more capably.
Regardless of its direction.
Or more fairly. No, I can call out bullshit in a news story whenever it's like, is this actually trying to, be oppressive or is this trying to, you know, is this benign or whatever? Like, cause
right.
you're very much on the side
vehement.
Of. Whereas I'm like, I get that a lot of people like to shoot off guns and it's fun
but
recreationally.
It's,
and,
but that's the, why are we already doing this? There's no need to do this right now.
I think a couple of my friends might have even had illegal guns. Anyway. unnamed people.
I was gonna say that's a good place. That's a good place to stop right there.
Anyway, the reason we're talking about the reason we got into guns here a little
is because you've been filing the serial numbers off of yours.
I don't have any. I have a vacuum cleaner over there that I could turn into one though, because I'm crafty like MacGyver.
Okay.
Like Richard Dean Anderson up in this bitch.
All right.
So the reason we're talking about it is because the varsity narrative of Alex Jones's show on the 22nd is him misrepresenting a new rule that YouTube has put out about gun videos.
Yes.
And we will hear his take on it, and then I'll tell you what the truth is in just a moment.
Thanks, Dan.
Now, we're going to be getting more into all that as we go along. But the big news today, and I've got two of the organizations banned by YouTube coming on with us in the second hour today. Here's Bloomberg. YouTube bans firearms demo videos entering the gun control debate. You mean entering the First Amendment debate?
Nope.
Because they're going to let Hollywood run their trailers with all the shoot 'em ups.
Wait, what?
They're going to put out all of their video game shoot 'em up.
All them video game shoot 'em ups.
Even major sports organizations are signing top video game players on to be sponsors and to be funded, because billions of people a week watch folks play violent video games on YouTube alone.
Sure.
Also on Twitch. Hi, guys.
Think about that. In a minute.
Okay.
Sites like Twitch.
That's us.
So you think about that massive, incredible affront to the First Amendment that Twitch is now coming to ESPN, people playing video games, people playing Doom and all these other games.
Doom.
Which is fine. That's
Doom and all those other games.
Shooting people up.
Playing some Street Fighter.
You have all the Death Wish remakes come out and have those be YouTube, you know, trailers with YouTube getting tons of money.
Can't allow Charles Bronson on YouTube anymore.
Not Bronson. It's the remake. It sucks.
Okay.
Arms Channel doesn't even sell guns.
Hold on. He just said the Military Arms Channel, they don't sell guns.
They don't even sell guns.
He has an interview with the guy who runs that channel later. And
he sells guns.
He's like, I have a gun store.
Yeah.
But they just show people and review them. They're banned. And then Spikes Tactical is banned because they're showing firearms. All selective attacks on the First Amendment, all discriminatory, and all part of a massive salvo launched to silence defense of the Second Amendment, to kill gun culture, to then kill the Second Amendment. This is the main assault, and everybody better wake up and realize this is the war.
It's the war, baby. You're scrawling like crazy over there. What's up?
I'm just taking a lot of notes. I'm just thinking about how Alex Jones's conception of what the First Amendment is inherently antithetical to his conception of what free market capitalism is.
Interesting. Elaborate on that a little.
Okay. So, First Amendment is the government cannot control speech.
Yes.
Free market capitalism.
Well, that's a part of the First Amendment. There's a bunch of other stuff, too.
Well, to him, he doesn't understand the rest of it. Especially the journalism part, and really the, you're allowed to gather together no matter what.
No.
Does not understand that, those parts
at all.
Seems
to think all the people who gather are paid to gather.
They're the ones who are paid to gather. Yeah. By the government, actually.
Yeah.
And then his idea of free market capitalism, which allows you to regulate speech in exactly the way that he is against.
Yeah.
Those to him are antithetical, and he doesn't understand that they are the reason that he's angry.
Well, one of the things, like, if you just want to take it to a dumb fucking way to resolve this argument, there's no porn on YouTube.
There you go.
Porn is legal.
Well, I know it when I see it.
Right, but there's no porn on YouTube. Porn is legal. They've decided we don't want that on our platform.
Right.
Do you want to take up that free speech battle?
Well,
you certainly haven't.
What he's mad about is that gun porn is being taken off of them.
Right.
That's essentially what it is,
but
right?
No, it's not. Gun videos are still cool. They're still totally cool.
Right.
I'll read to you from Bloomberg. The problem is the title of this fucking article.
Oh, no.
The headline...
God damn it, guys. Name things better. Think ahead.
The headline of the article is YouTube bans firearm demo videos entering the gun control debate. And that is an absolutely unfair title based on the reality of what YouTube has done. So here we go. I'll just read to you from this article because Alex Jones didn't make it to the second paragraph. YouTube will ban videos that promote or link to websites selling firearms and accessories, including bump stocks, which allow semi-automatic rifles to fire faster. Additionally, YouTube said it will prohibit videos with instructions on how to assemble firearms. The video site owned by Alphabet's Google has faced intense criticism for hosting videos about guns, bombs, and other deadly weapons. Basically, what the new rules that they've come up with are if you sell guns, you cannot have videos where you advertise those guns on our platform.
Right.
Or if you don't sell guns, but you're supported by someone who does sell guns and link to them for direct sales, you can't post those videos.
Right.
Also, if you are putting up videos where you show how to create a silencer or how to create a higher capacity magazine, you can't put up those videos. My personal take on this is good. This is going to be impossible to enforce.
Of course.
But good. That is a good rule to have. You should have had that fucking long time ago.
Who would have guessed?
But I don't know what realistic steps you can take. Now, Alex has two guests on the
internet.
Show.
The internet is pee in a pool.
Right.
Once it's in there, it's in there.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to plug it. Once a leak starts, you're never going to be able to plug all of the leaks. And pretending that you can is a lip service at best.
And also,
so I support the idea that they're trying to do it, but they're never going to do it.
The First Amendment argument is absolutely out the window because they're not being arrested.
No.
You know, like that piece
Again,
of it.
The First Amendment can control what the government can do to you,
mm-hmm.
not what a private organization can control.
Which he should have a boner for.
You would think, again, the First Amendment is antithetical to free market capitalism, and somehow he believes he supports both.
So he has two guests on to talk about this, and these are the gun buddies I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
They end up talking to him for about an hour worth of the show.
Who is it? It's Dave and Murderbuck?
Skeeter.
Oh.
No, they're two guys.
Oh, Skeeter.
One of them, my notes were not pulling up there for a second. I apologize. One of them is a guy by the name of Tim Harmison, who runs the YouTube channel Military Arms Channel, who I mentioned. Admits in the interview that he runs a gun store.
Sells a lot of guns.
So that kind of puts him afoul of the selling guns provision of YouTube's new rules.
Where's the terms and conditions argument on that?
Also, he goes into a pretty big argument about how the Southern Poverty Law Center is a radical far-left organization.
Oh, those people with their law!
And boy, do you hate to see that.
Can't handle it.
And then the other guest he has is Kit Cope. This guy runs
That's the most Southwestern villain name I've ever heard in my entire life. Kit Cope?
Well, this guy runs...
Kit Cope is a 14-year-old that can quick draw better than anybody else.
I bet he can. He runs a gun maker and seller business. Out of Florida called Spikes Tactical.
Worse than Kit Cope!
That Alex just referenced them as having their YouTube channel taken down.
Good!
During the day while this episode was going on, when Googled it, I found their YouTube channel. It was up. They're just
God
making it up.
Damn it. These fucking assholes.
Also, the Military Arms channel was not taken down either. I went and found that.
Where do these people come from?
Right. So, the issue that's bigger is that Spikes Tactical is an advertiser on Alex Jones's show. Yeah.
For fuck's sakes!
The whole thing just turns into a commercial, basically.
Are you shitting me?
No, it's just a...
So they... that is... that's... Shouldn't there be a law?
There probably
that
is.
That if you're making up a law that's restricting the advertiser you're advertising for, and they come on your show saying that they're restricting, even though there's not a restriction,
you know what?
They're not allowed to say that there's a restriction on it?
I think that there's not a FCC violation because he doesn't hide the fact that they're a sponsor. Like, he even plays a commercial for them in the middle of their hour-long argument about...
That can't be real!
No, absolutely, it is. It's a hot load of nonsense. But what makes it even worse is that in the middle of Cope's interview, he expresses...
Flames, flames behind my eyes, Dan. Flames burning in fires.
In the middle, I'm going to make it worse. I'm gonna throw kerosene on you.
No!
Because in the middle of his interview, Kit Cope expresses that he believes that most mass shootings are false flags, and
course,
he specifically says that they use crisis actors.
No!
Yeah.
God!
The thing that Alex is pretending that he doesn't support, one of his sponsors comes on air and says, I think, you know what, it's not even the shootings that we know of, it's even more of them. That sort of shit. It's fucking nonsense.
God.
It's crazy.
Oh my fucking God.
Also, this
would somebody please shoot these people?
This is really fun.
I'm beyond the, like, oh, you shouldn't advocate that. Fuck these guys.
On KnowledgeFight.com.
I hope they get shot.
On KnowledgeFight.com, we have a link up to this. You can find it there. But Kit Cope.
Kit Cope.
I thought it was Kip for a second. It's Kit.
Kip Coat or Kit Cope?
Kit Cope.
Okay.
A box
I
of
I need you to get that right for when you fucking shoot that piece of shit.
I will never do that. A box of things that allow you to deal. That's,
that allow you to, with your issues?
A kit of coping. That's how I'll remember it.
I didn't get that first, but now I'm on board.
So also he got into some hot water a little while back because he created this, let's say advertisement, for his business.
I don't like let's say advertisement.
He was like, he presented it as standing up to Antifa.
That's already bad.
The slogan was not today, Antifa. And,
today, fa.
The picture was four white dudes with fucking big guns.
No.
With their backs to the camera. It's not a picture, but like, their backs to the, whatever, the lens.
Mm.
And then a sea of guys in masks. Like, we're going to shoot you down.
Right.
We're
standing
up against you. And then in the corner, that has Boston. I can't remember the other ones, but one of them that stands out, Charlottesville.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
No!
Why is that one of your four in the list of
because
cities?
Because you're a fucking white supremacist.
Oh,
that's
no!
Why.
Oh, no!
They didn't even shoot people. Fucking...
No.
Fucking Christ.
Nope.
These people.
Nope.
What are they... I want to know, like, there's a genuine part of me that wants to be able to experience a level of empathy, like, not sympathy or understanding, but like an literal empathy of, can I see through their eyes?
Yeah.
And I have no ability to see the world through the way that they see it.
Well,
what they've created is, like for Alex Jones being like, oh, it's the video game, the video game violence or anything like that. These people have created a literal,
oh, we didn't even get into that part,
virtual reality that they exist in that no one else does. And I want to be able to see it.
I
and
promise
you. At the same time, I just kind of want to stamp it out with a giant fucking boot.
I promise you, I'm going to explain some of it at the end of this episode in a way you will never expect and you won't see coming.
All right.
But I think that
it's actually created by Nintendo.
Well, I think part of the reason that you can't empathize is because
I can't.
Well, no, I mean,
and I pride myself on the ability to empathize.
It's difficult to because what you're trying to empathize with is a completely scared, and completely externalized worldview. Like, everything is a threat, and all these threats are connected. That sort of worldview is very difficult, to
right, like,
into.
If you didn't understand RoboCop was satire.
Oh, that would be, yeah, that's, yeah, sure. Or yeah, any of the movies that Alex references.
Right. Right, fair enough.
The thing is, if you don't fall under the sway, I actually think you should empathize a little bit. I think you need to look inside yourself a little bit deeper.
Uh-huh.
Because what we're looking at with a lot of these people are people who have fallen under the sway of very charismatic con men. They use politics as opposed to the people who have abused us in the past necessarily
with
religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the same game. And I feel like you should be able to take a step. It might be difficult, but look at it from that prism. And see how gun protectionism, white supremacy, a lot of those things are their religion that they've been abused with.
Yeah.
And they just haven't escaped the church. Because it doesn't come born in.
You know, you're right. I see where you're coming from. I think the reason that,
I still rather laugh.
The reason that I can't empathize is because I didn't come from a death cult. I just came from a regular cult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kind of situation.
Well,
because what ultimately
what you're lacking in translation is they don't think they're a death cult.
Well, right, but death cults never think they're a death cult.
Right,
and then they kill themselves.
Right.
Or others.
So you
and or others.
I would like to explore this more, but I'm not entirely sure.
That's going to be a very long episode.
Yeah, we're going to get into 4-hour territory.
Yeah, eventually we're going to do a 9-hour long episode of just you and I figuring out cults.
Turns out, based on the Facebook group, that's what they want. They want us to do episodes not about Alex Jones, which to that I say, donate enough that Jordan doesn't have to have a job, and then we will.
And then we'll go right on into it.
Yeah, then we'll have a daily radio show.
Yeah.
But Jordan, I wanna get back to this idea that Alex was spitting about the, like, video game stuff and
the Death Wish.
And things like that. He really tries to make hay out of the idea that, like, all we do is show people using guns responsibly, and we're getting censored. And then Hollywood has people using guns irresponsibly, and video games just blasting people away. I'm not trying to say we should censor them, and I agree you shouldn't try and censor them. But the problem with the comparison is he's responding to a fake version of YouTube's rules and then comparing it to fiction.
Uh-huh.
Which makes it all meaningless. You know what I'm saying? And so, I don't know. It's a bummer. It gets worse in this next clip where Alex Jones talks a little bit more about video game violence.
It's like he's creating a straw man and comparing it to a virtual man made of straw.
Well,
like,
no.
Neither of them are real.
No. Well, yes. I agree. Neither of them are real. One is a straw man. One is art.
But what else is a virtual man made of straw?
Fair enough. Anyway, in this next clip, Alex has some weird fucking ideas about the history of video games.
Oh, no.
Well, now, I'm not saying ban video games.
Aren't you?
But they've been connected to mass shooters. They've been connected to desensitization.
Haven't.
Shoot 'em up games were created in the 60s during Vietnam.
Not
because
true.
A lot of the soldiers wouldn't shoot somebody up close.
That sounds wrong.
So they would have simulated targets and things that popped up, and then they moved.
Do you have any idea?
Is he talking about a shooting range? Does he think that a shooting range is a video game?
He has to, because do you know what kind of games were around in the 60s? Like, they were inaccessible to people.
Yeah, there wasn't even fucking...
Pong.
Yeah, that wasn't even there!
Yeah. It's absurd.
Yeah.
...moved to projections in rooms where you'd go through buildings shooting.
He's talking about a cop
train. That is where video games began. Doom is one of the most popular shoot-em-up. Was developed in the 70s and 80s for the military.
Wasn't developed then.
So that's
Doom
a fact.
Was developed for the military.
And so these are
in the 70s and
80s? Training aids. Instinctive shooting training aids.
A lot of
because
punch cards
because if you do not have
Doom.
A strong killer instinct, you will be dead, Marine. All of that.
That's
the dumbest. That's dumb. That's dumb.
That's when I hear that, I hear like, I just think, like, I wish I was in sketch comedy, because, like, that character...
Do ya?
Well, because that character right there is a good, like, professor who's about to get fired character, you know, like...
Right.
Like, all of that is so off-base in terms of just, like, demonstrable facts about the history of video games.
That's just not even... when does he even think computers were made? What does he think of ultimately this brings me back to, like, what does he even think a computer is?
Well, he thinks that computers were created by Thomas Watson in order to help the Nazis.
All right.
And so
that's
a fair
point.
Head.
He's not a big fan of Turing then.
Also, by the way, Doom came out in 1993, not the 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
So that's God bless you. That's a little bit of a problem with his timeline.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Anywho, I played Donkey Kong Country because I like to jump on heads. I like cartoon violence.
Even then, the first video game was...
No, in 1962, they had video games.
Yeah.
But it was like...
It took a giant...
Hypercomputers.
It took the room that we're in to make a video. game where you go,
No, I actually looked into it. There was a game called, like, Space Wars, I believe was the name of it. It was Space Wars with an exclamation point at the end.
Yes, those were the days.
In the early 60s, and it was this thing that he had a giant computer and a, like, circular screen.
Tiny little tube screen.
Yeah. And it was just a blip, and then you move things and, like, try – I guess it's sort of a precursor to, like, Space Invaders in the arcade days. But Yeah, I mean – sure. That is to dehumanize you. Okay. Good stuff, Alex.
It's a great thing, though, if you are playing towards Alex's clearly older and rural audience, mm-hmm. wherein you, anytime somebody is like, video games cause violence, what they're really doing is just another version of the, like, millennials are ruining this. Yeah. That's all it is.
We saw it in Columbine. Yeah. We saw it blaming Marilyn Manson video games.
Every time.
It's a fun game to play. And Alex is smart enough to know that, like, I can't play this game. I have to play the, I'm not playing this game and then play the game.
Right.
So, good work.
Cause if he was telling the truth, then, like, I played, Call of Duty Black Ops. Do you remember that? Where you killed all the Nazi zombies?
Yeah.
Oh man, I would kill so many Nazi zombies. Maybe he's right.
Maybe you got desensitized.
I got desensitized to Nazi zombie violence.
I can't speak to this from my own experience because most of my gaming life has been like Nintendo stuff, and that's all.
Yeah, but you played Skyrim. You've killed your fair share of elves and vampires.
Pretty much just vampires. Elves.
You killed some elves.
Oh Jesus!
Tell me you didn't kill some elves.
But I wasn't thinking of them as elves.
What were you thinking of them as? Zombies?
No, they had those shitty ears.
Jesus, you're an elf racist.
No, I like some of the elves. Those underground
elves?
Which elves? What are they called?
The Dwemer?
No, that's
the dwarves.
Yeah. They don't exist. Who are the people who are all around it, though? Those shitty assholes who are all around it. What were they called?
Nerd. Fuck off.
I have stopped playing Skyrim. I had my fill of it.
All right.
But be that as it may. Jordan, we got to get to this next clip.
We can't stick on Skyrim for the next...
If you could come up with that race of elves that I liked killing.
I think I might be right. I think they were called the Dwemer.
Their name started with an M.
We got to quit this show if we're going to keep going with this.
So in this next clip, Alex Jones... drastically over-exaggerates his audience.
Okay.
It was 3% that volunteered for the Revolutionary War back in 1776. But if you look at the InfoWars audience, it's maybe 10% of the United States.
30 million?
Another 10% or so worldwide. That's a conservative estimate.
That's
a conservative estimate?
10% of the world.
So 700 million people? Roughly 770 million people? Is that what he's talking about?
Conservatively.
So that means that, like, roughly a billion people.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's crazy.
That's exactly right. I agree with him.
That's literal lunacy. And you heard that soft guitar playing in the background, because this is part
of... I'm a big fan of the... Yeah!
The Revolutionary War time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! Also, it bears mentioning that his reference to the 3% of the population was involved in the Revolutionary War is a specific reference to a group called the 3%.
Boy, I bet it's got ties to white supremacy.
It might not. So on the...
Oh, God.
On the 22nd...
What are we doing?
On the 22nd, Alex spent a lot of the time on his show talking about how Trump is putting these tariffs on China.
That's a very good thing to talk about. Well, that's a really important thing to talk about that's going to affect and all of that stuff. That's an important thing to talk about economically,
whether or not
a trade war is really going to happen.
It is.
I mean, when you think about it, as has been reported, whenever China says that they're going to put a tariff on our pork sales, China owns most of the pork market in the United States. Mm-hmm. So really what their response is a non-response. Mm-hmm. So ask yourself, when you talk about tariffs, if they are responding in such a way as they know that it's not really going to affect their own sales, what does that mean in response to Trump's saying that he's going to put tariffs on theirs? Does he know that there isn't really a tariff there? I'm sure Alex has an incisive and important commentary to make upon this fact that we're not sure what this really means.
I actually think that generally speaking, I think you're right on, but in this case, I think we're dealing with a entirely different situation.
Oh, okay.
He plays a bunch of clips, and streams live Trump's speech about this.
That's not a good idea.
Putting these tariffs on
China.
Why
does he do that?
I would say
he has to know that anything Trump says live is going to disavow his own actual beliefs, right?
I would say, from what I've been able to read, and glean, this is probably going to cause a trade war.
You would expect it.
And that's going to hurt the lower classes and middle class of America incredibly hard.
Who would have guessed?
It's going to be a disaster.
I can't imagine anything this government is doing that would hurt the middle class and the lower class.
One of the reasons that I base this on is, when it was coming up to the point of making this announcement, it was kind of like people were talking about maybe Trump is going to do this.
Uh-huh.
The Chinese state newspaper China Daily warned, quote, "History has shown the pinpricks of protectionism can ultimately lead to the shots of war somewhere down the line."
Great.
That's not subtle.
That's definitely something that you want a state-owned newspaper to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a warning.
Awesome. Awesome.
Also, Jordan.
Thanks, guys.
We need to keep into consideration. This is so goddamn important. Less than a month ago, Xi Jinping declared himself supreme leader for life.
I don't understand.
That is a big move. And as
Anybody declaring themselves dictator for life, that's just a regular, that's the course of human events, Dan. That's no big deal.
As such, he can't afford to look weak.
Oh no, of course not.
So in a moment where Trump is levying these tariffs, you have to assume that he's going to respond harshly.
Of course.
And now the fun part about this is that China has so many options of how to fuck with us without doing anything.
Nah.
They can just slow down customs for no reason. They can increase security inspections, slow down trade that way. They can levy export taxes. Just randomly. They can
do that. One of the benefits of having an autocratic dictatorship.
Yeah. They can delay paperwork, screw up boats.
Oh, it's crazy.
We need for
We lost it.
Yeah.
We lost that paperwork. Where did it go?
These sort of like little tiny things they can do and aren't illegal and only fuck with us are the reasons that we are completely outgunned in terms of a trade war with China. And other reasons that are much bigger, but
probably some of them being the fact that we've sold most of our business to them over time.
Yeah, but I would also
unregulated capitalism.
I would argue that most likely what Trump is doing is posturing to show strength in a negotiation that will eventually end up leading us back to exactly where we started.
Yeah,
he's doing that, to use Alex Jones's terms, to virtue signal to his base that he's hard on China.
Right.
So he's doing all of these things, knowing at the end it all comes back to the beginning. And I think that's probably what's going on, because the other possibility is a disaster.
Well, and the same is true of...
we don't have a leg to stand on.
The same is true of Xi Jinping, insofar as he has to appear to be the same strong man to his dumbass base that Trump has to be to his dumbass base.
That's what I'm talking about with the "I just called myself supreme leader for life."
Yeah.
He has to present himself strong. The two of them both do. And I'm not going to go down the Alex Jones route of saying like they got together and figured out this was the best way to both look strong. But
I would say it's more like it's one of those things where you talk about the difference between collusion and just working at
mutual benefit.
Similar purposes.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure they talked to each other and they were like, "Hey, I have to do this." And he was like, "I have to do this" in response to that. And they're both like, "Okay, cool. Well, then we're going to do that."
Yeah.
And that was it.
So we've had some thoughts about the tariff that Trump has laid, varyingly reported as $50 billion and $60 billion. It's unclear. But Alex has a different take on it that I find way more troubling than any ideas about China, period.
That they were involved in deindustrialization, post-industrial era.
He's talking about the globalists.
Sure.
Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, it's a plan.
Disease
it's
X.
Public. Trump has read it. Trump knew all this before I was ever on air. Trump's dad was a huge donor to the John Birch Society.
No!
His lawyer, Roy Cohn, was the head of the House and the Senate. So he ran both of them. Un-American activities. He was McCarthy. Trump's best friend was McCarthy's power behind the throne. What does that tell you? The globalists are crapping themselves. He's the opposite of a Russian agent. That's why they're so scared. Everything he does is for the country. Everything he does is the classic default of what you do. It is just mind-blowing right now.
So before you respond...
I agree.
Before you
respond... It is just mind-blowing right now.
Before you respond, I just want you to keep in mind what Alex Jones screamed. He's the opposite of a Russian agent. Now, where are you at?
All of the stuff he said is the most damning stuff you can say about Trump's dad.
Well, I mean, Trump's dad...
Like, that's not a great way... Look,
Trump's dad was a
fucking bullshit con artist.
Yes.
Trump's dad's dad was a fucking bullshit con artist. Like, that is where they fucking come from.
Well,
that's their entire existence.
Trump's dad, in that time frame, being a large donor to the John Birch Society is a really troubling thing, because the John Birch Society was founded by Fred Koch, who, as
white
we've discussed in the past, built the third largest oil refinery in the Third Reich. He was a literal Nazi collaborator and also did business with Stalin.
Yep.
He is a mess. And then his children, the Koch brothers, have created the Tea Party movement. And
yeah, if you know a school shooter or a possible school shooter, point them towards Wichita, Kansas. That's where the Koch brothers live.
Now, the idea about the House Un-American Activities Committee.
Oh, no. I've heard nothing but great things about them.
Jordan.
I heard they did the best work. They got rid of all the un-Americans.
Do you know?
Don't you remember how the House Un-American Committee went down in history as being the most great committee ever?
Do you know how the McCarthy version of the House American Activities Committee started?
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it was under
best intentions.
Dies. It wasn't McCarthy didn't run it. He just sort of ran it because he was a strong arm. Figure.
He was the biggest swinging dick in the room.
Joseph McCarthy and the House Un-American Activities Committee grew out of the McCormick-Dickstein Special Committee of Un-American Activities, which spent most of its time harassing left-wing organizations, unions
what?
In particular,
what?
But also trying to drum out Nazi influence in America. So there's a little bit of good stuff in there, possibly.
Eh.
McCormick-Dickstein got started in 1934, according to records released by the Russian NKVD, the precursor to the KGB. As early as 1937, Samuel Dickstein was literally a Russian spy, taking in monthly payments that by 1940 had totaled about $12,000, or in present day, $133,000, adjusted for inflation. The Russians had a code for Dickstein. It was crook.
It was actually just Dickstein.
It was crook.
That sounds very crooked.
From the NKVD files, quote, "We are fully aware of who we are dealing with. Crook is completely justifying his code name. This is an unscrupulous type, greedy for money, consented to work because of money, a very cunning swindler."
Look, hey, if your code name is crook, that's bad. If the people who codenamed you crook is like, this guy is a crook.
He's a swindler.
For real. That's really bad.
So the Special Committee on Un-American Activities grew into the House Un-American Activities.
Right. Have you so much decency, sir?
The McCormick-Dickstein Committee grew into the Martin Dyes Joseph McCarthy Committee. Came out of a person who was legitimately, literally a Russian spy.
Right.
When the House Un-American Activities Committee landed under the leadership of right-wing Martin Dies with Sam Dickstein on the outside, he was no longer useful to the Russians, so they cut off payments. Though he served 5 more years in Congress and then later served as a judge in New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
From an article in...
God damn it, American history is filled with shit!
Yeah, from an article in The Guardian.
Hard quote, yes!
From, this is a quote. The committee itself stumbled on until 1976, when Congress finally killed it off. The damage it had done to American society is still visible today. For example, in the almost...
Where?
In the almost...
I can't think of any place.
In the almost physical horror of socialism and social democracy. After all these years, it's somehow fitting to discover that it was the brainchild of a traitor.
It is.
All of the roots of the House and Senate Un-American Activities Committee comes back to
a literal traitor.
And so that's why it makes it funny that Alex is like, this guy was McCarthy's best friend and you think he's a Russian. Well, I mean, the
literally
committee,
literally
Dickstein was a
quite literally
took $133,000 from the Russian spies.
Literally in the sense that we use it now to mean figuratively. No, literally in the sense that the word literally means literally he was a Russian fucking agent.
And as far as I can tell, barring whatever might come out about Dana Rohrabacher, Dickstein is legitimately the only congressperson who is, it's proved, was on a foreign government's payroll.
That's unreal.
Like, is acting as a foreign spy.
So, unreal.
So now, as for the House Un-American Activities Committee and Roy Cohn, the history is a bit problematic. Quote, in the book, Harvey, Mattisau, he wrote this book called False Witness. He claimed that he was an FBI agent who'd been paid to lie about his former friends and some of the people that he knew. He used to work at a communist bookstore back in the back in those days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. C-Books. I remember that.
And
place.
Some of those people were in prison because of his testimony, whereas others were blacklisted.
Everybody gave what books they could and in return received what books they needed.
It was a communist book hangout more than anything.
Uh-huh.
So some of the people that he had testified against were in prison and some of them were blacklisted because of his lies. He also named Joseph McCarthy and Roy Cohn as people who had persuaded him to give false testimony. Mattisau was a paid informant who'd go on to recant all of his testimony, mostly because it was all bullshit. He claimed to know 126 communists who worked for the Sunday New York Times, although they only employed 100 employees at that time. His false testimony led to union workers being wrongly imprisoned and the blacklisting of many people, including folk singer Pete Seeger. Guantanamera! Wahida Guantanamera! Guantanamera! So, Roy Cohn's involvement in...
That's the worst betrayal.
To hear that Seeger
was a traitor?
Mm. He wasn't. The traitor was...
Heartbreaking.
The traitor was Dickstein. And Dickstein created the committees that became, the witch hunt committees of McCarthy, under the tutelage of complete monstrous asshole Ray Cohn.
Right.
And Roy Cohn, he is a Trump associate.
All
that is not good for any of them.
No.
You know, it's not great also.
Hey, but at least nobody knows about this.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
Nah.
They just ignore it.
Yep. It's easy to ignore. The reason it's so easy to ignore is because we want to believe stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's heartbreaking.
And the things that Alex wants to believe are more heartbreaking.
Ultimately, when you get down to it, the history of America is the history of the worst. And you don't want to believe that, just like with white people and, your concept of whiteness or reparations or whatever it is you believe, you don't want to believe that every part of who you are and where you came from led to you dominating and being privy to the murder of millions upon millions of people.
Were you? And that's ultimately what it is, right? Like, isn't that what being a white dude is? Isn't being a white dude every morning you wake up, if not conscious, at least beneficiary of the fact that you have destroyed millions upon millions upon millions of lives? Like, how do you say to yourself in the morning, I deserve what I got?
Because,
or I've earned anything.
Because collective responsibility is bullshit. That's
fair. Fair.
That's nonsense. Like, you didn't do anything. You are not responsible for that.
But at the same time, I'm the beneficiary of it.
Right. So, you can work on that.
By killing all white people.
Nope, that's the wrong approach.
Is that the wrong approach?
That's the wrong approach.
I feel like that's at least number two.
You can work on it by recognizing the arguments that people in underprivileged positions are making, by listening, by understanding, by trying to help as best you can elevate their voices.
Right.
You do those sorts of things. That, I think, is the best you can do. And recognize the places where you're in a social advantage because of coincidence. The other stuff, the guilt, the, like, I should kill myself because I'm white, that's what all these minorities want. Those sorts of things are all just the, it's the equivalent of taking an argument to the wrongest possible conclusion.
Mm.
You just take it down the road way too far and you end up in Stupidville.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway. I brought up
Stupidville. I've never done that.
Oh, never. I brought up Stupidville for a reason.
This sounds like a great transition about to happen.
Our next guest.
We're in the middle of a great transition happening, Dan.
We have one last guest, Jordan, to talk about.
Okay, all right.
And she is an absolute resident of Stupidville. This person sucks.
All right, here we go.
We're talking about Laura Loomer.
She's a guest. She's not a caller. She's a guest.
No, she's a guest.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she's on to talk about
That's
a thing.
Not a good sign.
So Laura Loomer, she's a problematic figure no matter where you go. Even in the alt-right.
What about the West?
The alt-right doesn't even like her.
All right, so now, kind of hoping to see what she's got to say.
I found a bunch of articles that I don't care.
Laura Loomer, I know her name.
She's been on before. She's talked about how all Muslims are terrorists.
Yeah. No.
She's a monster.
I know her name as the more boring type of monster we deal with.
Stalking Hillary Clinton for a little bit, too, going to all her book signings and trying to fuck with her. Where's Huma?
All right.
That sort of
all
shit.
Right.
But also I found,
hey, David Letterman had stalkers. That's fine.
I found a bunch of articles that, like, I don't fucking know how to even deal with this, but, like, apparently Cassandra Fairbanks and Lauren Southern were accusing, Laura Loomer of raping a dude. I have no idea how to engage with this because everything is too, like, I don't know words. I don't know what's going on. And not because it's a woman being accused of raping a man. That's absolutely does happen. But it's just because those characters in that, I don't know what to do with.
There's a strange triangle going on there.
Yeah.
It moves beyond triangle and starts going into, like, trapezoid territory.
And quite frankly, I care not to engage. Whatever the reality of that stuff is absolutely outside of the scope of our,
interest. Right.
What we are interested in is that she is a monstrous Islamophobe. She sucks so hard.
Right. Truck. Hit her.
She's been spending a lot of time, trying to research the, Las Vegas shooting. And
you used a lot of words like research, and those are bad words when it comes to these people.
No. I gotta give her one tip of the cap. Like legitimately. She's said a bunch of bullshit that's absolutely not true. But she did, make a video that demonstrated that she could get into the freight elevator at that hotel. And
great.
No, it is
good work.
No, it is telling on some level because the people at the hotel had said that no one could get access to the elevator that would lead from the ground floor, the employee elevator, to the 32nd floor where the shooting took place.
Okay.
And she demonstrated that you could do that.
That could be. Okay.
Beyond that.
Fair enough.
The other conclusions that she makes and a lot of other stuff is wild bullshit conspiracy nonsense.
But all right. That, unfortunate. That's an unfortunate development.
But that, meh. All right. You showed that.
All right.
Great. Should send that to, the hotel. Tell them to beef it up. Beef up that secure.
Give them a call.
So anyway.
Look, go through the proper channels.
I've always wanted to do this, so I'm going to do this as if I was writing a tweet.
Okay.
I've never been able to do.
Wait, you're going to write a tweet on air?
I've never been able to do meme stuff, so I'm going to play out a meme.
I don't like the way you pronounce that word.
So today.
It's pronounced bum.
So today, Laura Loomer comes on, Alex Jones's show to, talk about, covert investigation she did into, gotta check my notes here.
To our listeners who are not watching the live stream, Dan looked at his hand.
The Parkland
ironically.
Kids?
Oh no.
She got the audio coming up in the next segment, but tell folks about this.
Yeah, so I conducted a hidden audio sting on the Parkland
Real quick.
Ah!
Laura Loomer used to work for James O'Keefe for Project Veritas.
Of fucking course she did.
And so I think she got some of her tricks from him, and we'll see that here in a second.
Parkland organizers here in Florida, because as you know, today they're departing for D.C. for their really big March for Our Lives, which is going to be a 3 or 4 day palooza of liberals just gathering together in D.C. to protest Trump and protest the NRA and rally to take away our guns. And so they held this meeting, and a representative for the Giffords Foundation, who is also a teacher in Broward County.
Real quick, the Giffords Foundation is a foundation that's run by Gabrielle Giffords. Nope. Gabrielle Giffords.
Kathy Lee?
Gabrielle Giffords.
What?
The former.
Kathy Lee?
Nope. No. Gabrielle.
Different.
No, Gabrielle.
Different
Giffords. The Giffords, the lady who was shot in the fucking head.
Oh yeah,
in 2011
no.
in Arizona.
Yeah, she's a crisis actor. She's a crisis actor.
Oh
right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
probably.
Okay, sounds right.
She got shot in the head, and then what other people seem to forget about that event is that the guy just kept shooting.
Can't remember
he
that.
Killed a federal judge.
Don't understand.
And a 9-year-old kid.
What are you talking about?
Killed, 4 other people beyond that. 6 people total.
And I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Straight up tried to assassinate Gabrielle Giffords.
Don't understand.
Shot her straight in the head. Somehow miraculously survived.
Oh.
And then, since then, has, dedicated her life to trying to, figure out a way that we can have more sensible gun control measures.
Yeah, good fucking
crazy.
Luck. Good
what
fucking
craziness
luck.
That the Giffords Foundation would be involved with these Parkland kids.
Sounds crisis-y.
Sounds insane. Also, it bears mentioning that the guy who did the killing in Arizona in 2001, he was a guy whose name is, excuse me a second, Jared Lee Lochner. Lochner, I'm giving him a brogue.
Yeah,
for no
you
reason.
Are. I don't understand why that's happening.
He's a guy who also, unfortunately, left a bunch of blog posts in his wake after he died.
Unfortunately,
that carry a bunch of InfoWars kind of rhetoric. He says stuff like, "quote the government is brainwashing people by controlling language."
Sounds right.
Sounds a lot like Alex
Sumerian.
Anyway. It's not weird at all that the Giffords Foundation is being involved in trying to help out, provide ground support for children that don't know how to organize interstate rallies of their own. It's fucking nonsense. But this gets worse.
County was caught on camera saying, on audio, saying a lot of really disturbing things, telling the students to make sure they have their talking points ready so that they get as much media coverage as possible and influence politicians.
I want to just talk about that really quick. I think that's more an issue of them preparing students who are 16, 17 years old to know there's going to be people fucking with you.
Yeah.
Here are the talking points. You don't want to go on TV and act like an asshole and then become a laughingstock. This wasn't a concern that people needed to have 20 years ago, 15 years ago. But now there's such a manipulative, you know, you, that sort of stuff with the Sandy Hook people who are like, this guy was laughing right before he came on and gave his speech. That's proof that he's fake. Like, you don't want to have those bad optics moments. And I don't think it's suspicious at all that this lady, Debbie Miller is her name. She's a teacher.
It doesn't matter.
Jordan, you're not ready for what's going to come.
I'm not ready. It just doesn't matter.
If you're responding like this.
If you prepare them, it doesn't fucking matter. They're going to go after you. It doesn't matter what reality is. It doesn't matter if every single fucking thing you say is right on target because they're going to lie about it. And even if you say everything perfectly,
you're so right.
They're going to pretend that you didn't say it perfectly.
You're so right.
They're just going to create a whole separate fucking reality wherein they pretend that whatever it is that the fuck you said wasn't the same thing. It's insane. We don't live in a world where reality fucking matters. Reality is gone.
Jordan,
the concept, like, I don't even fucking care. Why would you even teach these kids PR fucking skills whenever they don't even realistically matter?
It's for the best.
It doesn't matter.
It couldn't
hurt.
They
could come out and poop in their fucking hands and then eat it and they'd be like, well, that's fucking bullshit. Like, it doesn't matter.
That's a sign. They're,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What we do, it's not going to change anything. Like, why are we putting it on these children to actually fucking know a goddamn thing whenever adults should fucking show up? Why aren't adults showing up? Everybody is wondering. I'm sorry, Dan.
I'm doing a timeout hand gesture because what you're screaming about, why aren't parents and adults showing up, is the Giffords Foundation. They are showing up to try to help because she got shot in the fucking head.
I know.
And is trying to help.
I know. It's just, I don't understand.
I'm not trying to quell your passion.
I know.
I'm saying that the Giffords organization and this lady who Laura Loomer has caught on video are manifestations of adults who are trying to help these kids express themselves accurately, sincerely, and in a way that's not going to hurt them for the rest of their lives.
Right. Here is the only thing that I feel about what's going on with, especially in regards to Parkland. All of these kids are saying very, very reasonable things. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they said unreasonable things.
Of course not.
It doesn't matter if they said reasonable things.
No.
My point continues to be, why are we preparing for what these people are going to say?
You mean the right? The weird, weird ding-dongs?
Why bother? Why bother acting like we need to have a PR strategy for when they attack us?
Well,
because it doesn't matter what you say.
Here's why it matters.
Okay.
Because they're kids.
Who cares?
No. Because they have the rest of their lives in front of them.
Who cares? They don't.
No.
Let's face it, Jordan. None of us do.
Jordan, this meeting ostensibly is a teacher in Broward County talking to students.
Right.
That are going to go on this, what I would assume is a field trip / protest rally. They have a responsibility as adults to be like, I don't think that when they're talking about talking points, it's like, you say this, you piece of shit.
Right.
It's more like, stay on message.
Right.
Do you agree with this? If not, you don't have to do this.
Keep in the pocket. When people are throwing punches, keep your gloves up.
Know that we live in a media landscape now that there are going to be people who are going to, and she doesn't even play it on the show, but in one of her undercover videos, she's like, the Broward County teacher, Debbie Miller, says, there should not be any kids alone. And I would say, even if it wasn't where you're going,
there shouldn't even be any fucking adults alone.
Well, but like, even if it wasn't that, it's a field trip, basically. There's a bunch right. of people going with the...
Hey, she might as well have said, use the buddy system.
Don't be unchaperoned. There, yeah. There's some, there's yeah, 16, yeah, yeah. 17-year-old kids right. who are going to DC. They're hopefully trying to make the point that they want to make, as supported by the Giffords organization, run by a woman who was shot in the fucking head.
Here is my argument against that, which is that who... Fuck, I'm sorry. My argument against that is just, who fucking cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There is no longer a conversation. That is not a thing right. that is possible.
You're right.
So if you want to say we should get rid of all guns everywhere in the history of ever, we should go back in time and get rid of the guns that they had during the American Civil War.
We should get
or
rid of,
the American Revolution.
We
it doesn't
get
matter.
Rid of, we get,
no one gives a shit because the people,
shots.
The people who care about guns are going to twist and turn anything.
Oh shit.
You say. It does not matter.
I forgot,
they need to be gone.
I forgot to tell you one of the most fun things about this.
Yeah.
That whole YouTube ban that was going on, for the gun videos.
Oh, the gun videos?
There's this guy who makes really fun slingshot videos out of Germany.
All right. Slingshots are fine. I'm all for slingshots.
And so he constructs guns and he's concerned that like his rights are going to be encroached. I'm like, I'm constructing guns.
Could you say this in a German accent? That would make me feel better.
I'm not Alex. I don't do shitty accents.
Okay.
But his response.
How would Bernie say it though?
No. His name
yes,
was Jorg something, and his response to it was, "We should unionize."
Yeah.
Which is
Jesus.
Which is a reasonable or like idea.
Oh, that's two worlds colliding that Alex could never deal with.
A guy who makes gun construction
never.
Videos on YouTube
could never like, conceive of dealing
we
with.
We are creators for YouTube. We should unionize. We should make a union because they're encroaching our ability to make gun videos on YouTube.
There you go.
Now think about this. Think about this. The only arguments that Alex and his ilk have at all in terms of remedying this is either unionizing or putting regulations on a business.
Right.
They have to go against themselves in order to... Anyway,
Yes. All right. We're off topic.
We need to get back to...
I'm sorry. I'm furious.
Laura Loomer sucks. And it will cause us to get off track.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Jordan is furious.
I hate her so much.
Yeah.
She told the students that the Jews control the politicians in Washington, so you also have anti-Semitism along with left-leaning bias. And then she said, oh, this is super off the record, you guys, so don't repeat this, and then told the press who were in the room not to listen. But they don't even have the proper permits to have a march. You have to have permits in order to have a march on Capitol Hill. And the Giffords Foundation, which is tied to Gabby Giffords, you know, the congresswoman who was shot in the head in Arizona and now, you know, promotes gun control, failed to acquire proper permitting. So they're having a rally. And this teacher literally
did the guy
on audio encouraging students to break the law and storm the White House and march to the White House and raise hell.
So, the
permits, 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 Dan, permits are really important. Permits are really important to the people who are fighting against getting shot in the head. But the people who shoot people in the head aren't really concerned about fucking permits.
She,
now, are they, Dan?
She dismissed the being shot in the head a little
bit. Oh, the being shot in the head part. Hey, who doesn't get shot in the head?
A little bit of a toss-off.
Hey, this is 2018. Who doesn't give a shot in that fucking head?
So,
God damn it!
I watched all of this. You can find it on Laura Loomer's YouTube channel if you want. It's very boring. It also is very selectively edited in the same way that James O'Keefe's, Project Veritas videos are.
Strange.
But, that I will give Laura credit in as much as she allows full sentences to happen.
I won't.
Just sometimes they end up, leading into other sentences that are unrelated.
I don't give her a goddamn bit of credit.
So I want to address, first of all, the permit situation.
Oh, you gotta have permits to, if you've ever read the First Amendment, permits are huge.
That's part of the First Amendment, right?
Huge in the First Amendment.
But we have a understanding of civil order, and if you want to organize somewhere, and you're gonna, it is for the best. I'm not coming down on that. What, Debbie Miller in this video is saying is that they were unable to acquire a permit. Not that they failed to acquire
to
be given one.
Strange.
Which is different.
It's slightly different. Can't understand why.
But they have a permit to have a rally. So what they're going to do is have a rally, and then she says, with a kind of winking voice, if we all leave the same direction, that sort of thing. But I would argue.
These fucking people, man.
But I would argue, I've been to 100 goddamn rallies in my life. That's how they all go.
Pretty much.
Everyone kind of just, are we going this way? All right. Here we go.
Yep.
Yep. And that happens on the right too. That's not like a left-right thing. If you, like, permitting is such a stupid piece of, this argument. I'm not saying that like in some kind of like flippant defending this protest, not defending other ways. Like, I mean, when the KKK has a permit to have a rally, all right, good luck.
I'm
fine with that.
I think it comes to, well, it's one of the things that
I'm not fine with it, but
my girlfriend, who is a teacher in the CPS. When she was talking about the walkout that the students were going to have for the Parkland shooting, where they were like, everybody needs to fucking do something about this shit. The administration of the school then said, okay, awesome. It's our idea. We're all going to have a walkout. We're going to do 17 minutes of silence. We're going to do the whole thing. And
trying to own it.
At that point, you're like, well, then what the fuck is this for? Okay, great. So the people who are complicit in this shooting happening are going to lead a pointless, meaningless protest, and then everybody's going to go back to school the next day.
Yeah.
Like, who fucking cares?
And I think that's the grander conversation.
Yeah.
The shit conversation is the, like...
Oh, you didn't have a fucking permit.
Your student... Or your school is Soros-operated because they were fine with the
walkout. No.
The grander conversation is like
the real conversation is, why is anybody going to school?
There you
period.
Go.
Period. But why are you, look, every day you go to school, your school gets money. Every day your school gets money, your school is more susceptible to getting fucking shot up. Everybody should fucking shut this shit down. Period.
Shut your
down. I don't even want to go to work. Like, it's a real thing where it's like, if we all could just fucking and we can't do it. We can't do it because we all have to fucking eat.
Well, we could.
And that's the system that we live with it.
Well, that's
we
called,
can't have,
that's called aggressive capitalism.
That's called aggressive capitalism.
It's called the free
market.
We
can't live in a world where a union, a real union is fucking everybody.
Well,
and that's not a world that we can ever live in.
That comes back to the Dickstein shit.
All right.
And
there you go.
The consequences that have come from that. A goddamn Russian spy traitor created this visceral disgust that we have.
God bless America.
In the name of patriotism and protecting America, he created, unintentionally or intentionally, a complete disgust about the idea of social, democratic, like socialist democratic shit. And, it lingers to this day. And we just gotta fucking find a way to deal with it. Anyway.
All right, Dan.
The worst part about that clip.
Oh, we got another clip?
No, the clip, clip we just listened to was her saying that this teacher, Debbie Miller, claimed that the Jews run the politicians.
Well, yeah, but who hasn't claimed
that?
Did
you forget that? Do we need to listen to it again?
No, but again, Dan, that shit just flows off me at this point. Like, at this point, I'm like, oh, well, who doesn't claim that the Jews run the politicians?
Let me see if I can cut back to and find it here real quick.
The Jews control the politicians in Washington.
Right.
I did that amazingly.
That was perfectly timed.
I'm thrilled with
you
my,
fucking
yeah.
nailed that.
So I went and pulled the clip that she's actually talking about.
Right,
from
when she says that the Jews run the politicians.
This is from Laura Loomer's own YouTube video.
When she clearly proves that she said that the Jews run the politicians.
No, this is a mic down moment.
Okay.
It's not
going to
rain on Saturday, so yay. You're welcome. I would say something about the politician who said the Jews were in charge of weather, so you're welcome. But that's not right.
That's what Debbie Miller said. You heard that
very
clearly.
I would say something, but they say the Jews are in charge of the weather, but that's clearly not true.
No.
It's a joke.
That's not what she said.
That's a legit joke.
That's
it's not a good joke?
That's not even what she said.
It's not a good joke.
That's not even what she said. She said, I would say something about that politician that said the Jews run the weather.
Right.
This is a reference to Trayon White, a D.C. councilman who recently said, and I quote, "It started snowing out of nowhere this morning, man. Y'all better pay attention to this climate control, man, this climate manipulation. That's a model based off the Rothschilds, controlling the climate to create natural disasters they can pay for their own in these cities, man. Be careful." She's making a joke about this guy who said this a week ago.
Yeah.
This isn't...
It's not a great joke. Still a good joke. It's a solid bit. She's playing to the crowd.
This is why this is a great joke.
Why is it a great joke?
When Debbie Miller made that joke at that meeting, it was a joke.
Yeah.
It's like, there was you could hear laughs because people had read that story.
She got a medium response.
There were people who had read that story and they understood what she was talking about and like, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's funnier. Because Laura Loomer was there.
She was not fucking there.
She was at the meeting secretly recording it. That's how she has this audio. She was secretly recording all this. So she secretly recorded all of this, then took it, then misrepresented it on Alex Jones's show, where they accused Debbie Miller of making anti-Semitic remarks about how the Jews run politicians, which isn't even close to what she said, on a show where Alex Jones has absolutely accused the Rothschilds of having weather weapons.
But that's my fucking point. It doesn't matter. Why coach them?
No, this guy, Trayon White, absolutely was inspired by InfoWars.
No,
like,
I know.
Whether it's InfoWars period or a InfoWars, like, surrogate site, he's inspired by
it. Let me make clear what my point is that why bother? Why bother pretending that there's a world where you can coach any PR person into saying something that the right wing won't turn into lunacy?
Right, right.
Like, she
said, in a perfect world.
She nailed it. That was a solid bit.
In a perfect world.
There's no explanation for why you would give a fuck about these people. These people need to be left behind. Nobody should ever think. Like, that's what I get. That's what infuriates me about the idea of a centrist Democrat. Let everybody go. They are gone. If you are somebody who is concerned about what somebody might misconstrue what you said into thinking. If you're somebody who's like, oh, well, the Southern Poverty Law Center said this, and so who cares? They need to go put forth an actual progressive fucking idea and let it go. Say it. Say it real. Say it loud. People should not be ashamed. People should not pretend that there's a third way. People should not pretend that you need to say things in the middle. There's no middle. There's these people who are fucking trying to murder us all.
Yep.
And then there is the fucking rest of us.
Yep.
It is, the middle is trying to live.
No,
the middle is trying to survive through the coming fucking apocalypse.
It's not,
I don't want a,
it's not even
I don't
the middle.
Want a fucking spending bill that is a compromise between the, it's, they're gone.
They're gone.
They're dead.
Yep.
They're fucking dead to us. The idea that we should find a middle ground, the compromise doesn't exist when the other side wants your debt.
The compromise does exist with the very, very rare people who are just conservative. That compromise does exist. But unfortunately, we live in a world where, you know, we talk about the Overton window so much, and it's pulled so goddamn far to the right that, I mean, you know, like, it's basically compromising with the center.
Yeah.
To some extent. Yeah. That's the battle that you have, is compromising with the center. Whereas people who actually identify as on the right are, they're fascists at this point.
Yeah.
Like it's, and you know what? I imagine that there's a hypothetical world that exists where things went a different way, and that maybe things went too far into socialism or something like that, and our country got too far down some road, and we had a Mugabe-esque, like leader who had taken us down that dark path.
There's tons of, alternate realities where anti-fascism goes too wrong.
Well, no,
we're too far against fascism.
I'm not saying that. Always fighting fascism is great, but, like,
always punch Nazis.
Right. But, like, there is a way.
Sandra Bullock?
There is a way that liberalism and leftism is exploited also. Like,
right.
With communist governments in the past. And, like,
right.
If we want to go back to the, Alex Jones's shitty Rhodesia metaphor, like, when Mugabe went bad, like, there is a point where, like, things are going that way. And then I imagine there are people who are on the right who are like, I am only able to compromise with the center. I can't compromise with the
right.
The actual left that exists now. But unfortunately, that is not our reality. That is a hypothetical reality.
Well, that's my I have a longstanding beef with anybody who uses the word populist.
Right.
Because
the king
populist is not an, the word populist is always associated with that fascist leader that shows up.
Well,
with your Mugabe.
Not always fascist to begin with, but becomes it.
Exactly. Right. That's what your populist is associated with.
It always
winds
Jones
up being that
type.
Way. It's
populist
conception.
Populist is shorthand for cult of personality. It's
right,
all, it's
right.
All just, it's that nonsense. It's the I care about you, but it's the I in that sentence that's the most important.
Right.
I care about you.
Oh man.
They don't care about you.
You're getting real close to knowing what's up, Dan.
Well, no, I mean, that's,
no,
that's,
I know. That's, but that's, like, when we talk about those concepts and those ideas, the destruction of them always winds up being in the misassociation, might be a word, the association with populist to the dictator that arises from it.
Right.
Like, the idea that if Bernie Sanders had won the Democratic nomination,
right,
and become the president, he would have then become Mugabe.
Right.
Like, that's the idea of populism that people associate it with.
Mm-hmm.
And it is always, it always comes back to that. People done fucked up so bad that they're willing to do anything other than what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And that's, where do we get Trump? Like, the idea of a populist, Trump is not a populist.
Nope.
Trump is a fucking con man.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, and how
and
many,
Alex
how
is
many
a, think, Alex is a victim
exactly,
of it, too.
Exactly!
Like our
so
entire
many of
show
these people,
is a demonstration of him being a victim of a con man.
It is a constant reinforcement of the idea that we should let these people fucking go.
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't.
I don't know. I kind of think we should. I kind of think we should.
I don't know.
I think we should drag them because there aren't. All right. Never mind. I'm going to let this go.
All right.
I don't even think I can.
We're going to come to.
You know what? I really don't even think I can coherently make my point right now.
Let's
scream, so I apologize.
Let's scream
I
at apologize. Each other off air because
I'm
we're done with
furious
the clips.
And I'm not nailing it.
We're done with the clips and Lauren, Southern, who is not on this episode can go fuck herself. But
all
also,
I can say is that she can go fuck herself.
But also Laura Loomer, they have the same first name, for the first like five letters. But you can check out our show, on
oh my website. God, are we done? I feel like I did not dismount well. I feel like I dismounted like
well, now's your chance, but you better do it quick because your boy got a pee.
All right. Here's my dismount. Kill the rich. So that's my,
nailed it.
Wait, that I did it.
If you want to kill the rich, go to our website, knowledgefight.com. We're also on Twitter, knowledge_fight,
where you can also kill the rich. You can follow us, you can go to Facebook,
mm-hmm.
where you can kill the rich.
Our Facebook group, go home and tell your mother you're brilliant.
A lot of people get killed by the rich there.
Great times over there.
Oh, so good. You can download us on iTunes.
Yes, you can. You can
rich
kill the
aren't
rich
allowed
by
there.
Leaving
yeah.
a review.
Absolutely.
Hey, look, this whole thing has been a lot of fun. But I want to give a more abstract, shout out at the end of this episode.
Uh huh. To killing the rich?
No. I mean, they should go fuck themselves.
Mm.
But I would say Alex Jones's beholdingness to his gun sponsors can go fuck itself. That's not good.
Nah. It is actually very good.
And Mugabe.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
I panicked.